Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routine to call a scene to bookwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more table. So many times we give and rhyme to our quite something able. We're off the bat in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I am Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords, is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shazir the Terrible. All rise for King Shazir the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
Something happening here, what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
being wrong. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop.
fizzes the turtle. All Earth working to fizz the turtle and the Knights of the Round Table.
Ain't no joke, you're about to hear it here first, folks. We're going to get to the bottom of the crazy. That's what we're going to do. We're going to find out what's going on out there in this world. So you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazazradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html where you have access to not one but four separate chat rooms. No pushing, no shoving. Plenty of room to the back. Okay, we got that settled. If you scroll down the deal, you see a link to People for People Radio. They got room over there, too. Standing room only, probably, because they got a really wonderful crowd over there. They're nice folks. And everybody wants to hang out with them. So maybe you do, too. Alright, so, and then if you scroll up to the top and you check out, there's a button that says Stevens Resource Page if you're into alternative energy research and that kind of stuff. From the Mad Science Show to all kinds of different researchers out there, Stevens compiled a whole pile of links of all kinds of people and stuff. So there's a worthy cause there. Yeah, I see Steven in the chat room. Good morning, Steven. Anyway, crazy. What was it I put on there? I said crazy world or just crazy people. And first I want to start off with my own version of crazy because I just happened to stumble across a video this morning, and I was already kind of familiar with the Mandela effect, where essentially some people remember Mandela dying way back when, and then some people remember him dying not so long ago. So apparently he died twice, once for this crowd over here, and then he came back and did it again later for another crowd. I don't know, that's pretty tricky, but anyway, what struck me in this entire video was that the guy was talking about how jet airplanes used to have the wings, or the engines, right up underneath the wings. And of course, that's the way I remember it. I never remember the engines being sticking way out there in the front on the jet engines. But nonetheless, that's the way they are now, and I actually kind of, jumped out there on Google to see if there was any, they call it residual, like, there'll be pictures left over from when the big change supposedly occurred, and I actually found a couple different pictures that the wings, the engines are under the wings like it said it was, but the majority of them are, up front. And actually, in this one particular picture of a toy from Pan Am, that's one I downloaded, the box in the picture shows the engines up front, and the actual toy itself shows the wings, the engines underneath the wing. So, whatever was changing the matrix kind of made a blooper on that one, I guess. But anyway, that's not the gist of the whole show here. There's things going on out there in this world and off this world and under this world and inside the moon and outside the moon. And man, I tell you what, it depends on who you talk to and what they actually believe of the type of conversation you might find yourself in these days. Like, for example, I got a good friend that he's an awesome person, but he believes in Planet X, and he believes in aliens, and he believes that doomsday's right around the corner, and all heck is going to break loose, and he's getting his life and his family ready for just such an emergency. Maybe it will, maybe it won't, I don't know. And how could I know? But either way, you got folks out there that believe in Bigfoot. You got folks out there that believe in the Loch Ness Monster. You got folks out there that believe in just about all kinds of stuff. And when you have a conversation, whether you did or didn't go to the moon, and whether the Earth is or isn't flat, or whether there is or isn't a God, it kind of just depends on who you talk to of what type of conversation you're going to end up getting. Now, we talked about mind control issues out here so many different times where, you know, people would be basically had the technology to actually tinker with your brain if they wanted to. Make you believe all kinds of crazy stuff. Plus the deal of the mainstream media and the alternative media and the internet itself. You know, if you've seen it on the internet, it has to be true. That's all there is to it, you know. It's like just like if you're seeing it on the news, it has to be true. But this digital world that we live in should have came with a precautionary tag, a label or something that said that, if you see it out here, don't necessarily think it is because it might not be. It's just that digital way that we get to create whatever it is that we think about. We want to make it happen, so it's happening. And there's everybody this these days has a tinfoil hat. Nobody is immune from having a tinfoil hat. We're all conspiracy theories because we think the conspiracy guys are the conspiracy. We think that the crazies are the I don't know. Crazy is as crazy does, Forrest, right? But anyway, I downloaded a couple different pictures of a couple different planes, and truthfully, in my mind, I do remember the actual engines being underneath the doggone wings more than they are now. It doesn't make any sense to have them out there as far as, physics go and engineering-wise. Seems like it'd be kind of a hindrance, but maybe their idea in that second dimension there was that they would put more thrust under the wings that way and cause it to stay aloft easier. Who knows? But either way, it's the mere fact that myself, I remember it one way, somebody else remembers it another way, and maybe that's the case with all these different other, if you actually want to go down a rabbit hole of epic proportions, just Google up the Mandela effect and start listening to people. And there's even people that talk about, Bible changes and stuff like that, where actual text from actual books that you would have had in your possession for maybe generations, and then suddenly you don't remember certain phrases being said the way that they were. So how would one do all that, Now in the scientific realm, they talk about quantum theory and all this kind of stuff, and so there's all kinds of possibilities actually tapping into other dimensions and quite literally changing, our reality. Yeah, it's one step at a time. Now, if there is some mad scientist guy out there, even the CERN project opening up gateways to alternate dimensions and allowing in demons and other entities or whatever, then that thing about getting crazy is probably going to get a little crazier around here. I mean, it's not like we haven't already had crazy going on this world. There's been all kinds of crazy stuff. In the news, there's a gang called MS-13 from, I guess, El Salvador, and I guess they're running amok around there. And, I've pretty much listened into the news a long time ago. I don't even remember even hearing about no MS-13. I've heard about a lot of different types of gangs and stuff, but apparently these folks are pretty radical. And, they're getting deported up out of the United States, and they're actually doing battle with their own law enforcement down in the area that they actually came from, and rival gangs down there as well. So, safety-wise, we got a crazy world. Just common sense-wise, we got a crazy world. So I'm asking the question, is it just crazy world, or is it crazy people? Or a combination of all of the above. It's hard to tell. Let's see. It looks like Stephen posted a picture down there in the chat room. I'm going to have to click on that and see. It's the airplane. Now that doggone airplane actually has the engines built into the wing. That's pretty interesting. So it's hard to say. Is it? Or was it? I don't know, man. But that's what we're fixing to start off talking about here. there's supposedly things found. I was just talking to Barbara just a second ago. Things found on Mars and situations like that. So, Barbara, what do you think about that? You think they're like...
Hey.
You think they're out there?
Oh, they are out there. Do-do-do-do-do. You know, hi, everybody. It's good to be here. I think I'm here. Maybe I'm crazy that I'm here. Maybe I'm not even really here. I was just thinking, I was going to say, hey, good to be here, everybody. Nice to be here. I'm living over here on Turtle Island on this Mother Earth, and then I thought, maybe I'm not really here at all.
Yeah, maybe we're just dreaming. This is like
maybe
a vivid one.
Maybe this is a dream. Yeah. Maybe I'm a, I don't know, are these words my own? We're beginning to ask these questions, and, well, as far as the world being crazy, you know, I look at the world as a sacred being, you know, as the mother, as an entity, an essence of consciousness, you know. So I don't know if the mother's crazy, the world. I think the people are crazy. I think we have the capacity to be crazy or driven crazy or going crazy, or maybe we are crazy all across the board. I don't know, but that's a really good topic. And there are some weird, crazy stuff things out there that... even today is being uncovered. I think part of what we realize today is that the history that we were given is a lie, so that makes you crazy. Who are we, humans, or are we cyborgs, or are we seeded from stars, are we ETs? Was there a flood? I think that I'm gonna say the flood. If ancient civilization really did exist, all ancient civilizations have their stories of the flood.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe we'll put that in a category of a possible reality.
Well,
you know,
Steven said that Shazam's looking to cause a ruckus with the Mandela effect.
Well, looking at this thing, I didn't get into too much of this Nelson Mandela effect, but you know, this is called a collective misremembering, a collective misremembering of common events or details. Now, this first emerged in 2010, and it happened when countless people on the internet, you know, we got to blame the internet, falsely remembered that Nelson Mandela was dead. It was widely believed he had died in prison during the 1980s. Now, you have a mass of people who believe that Mandela died in prison during the 1980s. But in reality, Mandela was actually freed in 1990, and he passed away in 2013. Despite some people's claims, they remember clips of his funeral on TV in 1980. Now, I remember Mandela being freed. I do remember that. Now, was that real?
Well, I don't know. Remember him dying.
Well, I remember him dying, too.
But not in prison. Yeah,
but
I remember him dying way back when, and I was surprised to hear. I thought he already died is what I said. Exactly my
words.
Well,
so that would be the 1980s.
Yeah.
Okay, but I remember him being freed because, to me, Nelson Mandela being freed was a monumental, amazing thing.
Yeah, but
okay,
how could two seemingly sane people have two different memories of the same deal? You see what I'm saying?
Okay. Well, we're gonna look at that. We're talking the real crazy stuff, which is paranormal. Ah. The paranormal, well, that's surely a wackadoodle nutcase system, isn't it? Paranormal, you know, alternative realities. So, this woman, Fiona Broom, she's a paranormal consultant, she coined the term Mandela Effect, and this explained the collective misremembering, and then other examples started popping up all over the internet. There was one, for instance, it was wrongly called that the C-3PO from Star Wars was gold, and actually one of his legs is silver.
He was gold. He was all gold. I had a toy.
Yeah, well, also people wrongly believe that the Queen in Snow White says, "Mirror, mirror on the wall." But the correct phrase is magic mirror on the wall. No, it is not the correct phrase in my world. I remember mirror, mirror on the wall.
See,
who's
I do.
The fairest of them all?
I remember that too.
But they're telling us the correct phrase is magic mirror on the wall. No, in my world, in my realm, in my alternative, whatever you want to call it, where I'm living, it was mirror, mirror on the wall.
Yeah,
were we at the same movie? Were there two different movies in your realm, parallel realm, or those parallel? I mean, this is what we're talking about,
yeah.
Right? So now she explains the Mandela effect, which is pseudo.
And that dude, Mr. Rogers, I used to watch that dude all the time when I was a kid, and he did say it was a beautiful day in the neighborhood. The neighborhood.
Yes, he did. We had sing it all the time. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
So what are they saying? It's not a beautiful day in the neighborhood?
No, it's a beautiful day in this neighborhood or something like that.
No. That doesn't even work.
Yeah, well, it was the
it's
neighborhood.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood. No, it's a beautiful day. Okay, so Broom explains the Mandela effect is pseudo-scientific theories. She claims that differences arise from, listen to this now, this may explain what's going on. The differences arise from movement between parallel realities, the multiverse. Now, stop right there because you could say, some people will say, geez, there's no such thing as parallel realities, but I'm going
to
say in my experience there are.
There
and in many. Yeah,
because
well,
I've had socks literally disappear before
into
my...
another reality.
Yeah.
I think I have your socks.
You probably do.
You probably have my socks.
I don't doubt it, because I found strange socks.
My socks, I mean, we joke about the sock thing, you know, that it went into another realm or something, but... So this is based on the theory that within each universe... alternate versions of events and objects exist. Now, I'm going to kind of go along with that because I've had parallel experiences, okay? And ancient cultures also speak of parallel realities and the multiverse. And scientists are also now, you know, claiming that this is true. There have been experiments, scientific experiments, the Philadelphia experiments, and so on and so forth. So I'm going to go along with that because I've had my own personal parallel realm experiences. But that's my world. I don't know. So it's based on the theory that within each universe, alternate versions of events and objects exist. So are we simultaneously... I'm asking the question, are we simultaneously functioning, living in two different, maybe multi-experiences, multi-universes? Are we that we have that ability and we don't even know it?
Well, I get this feeling every once in a while, as crazy as it sounds, that when you go to sleep at night, you don't really go to sleep at night. You shift over to a whole completely different world. The body here is resting while you're over there in another one doing something totally different with completely alternate reality.
Well, I had a dream the other night. And in this dream, this man came up to me. And I'm looking into his eyes and his face to get a sense of who this is, right? Because I'm trying to look into his eyes, and they call that the window of the soul, I guess, because that's the way we could find something about a person, is to really gaze into their eyes. And in the dream, I'm doing this. I'm looking into this man's eyes, and I'm thinking in the dream, I know this man. But who is this guy? I know him, but in this reality, in the dream reality, I can't pull up how I know him. But I'm in my conscious experience, I suppose you'd say, as I'm standing in this dream with this person. Now, this guy says to me, I would like to take you to Rome. And there's other things part of the conversation, but these are the pieces I'm pulling out. He says, I would like to take you to Rome. And in the dream, I see the Rome he's talking about is way back. It's not in the present time. And so he wants to take me back in time, okay? That's the message in the dream. And he wants to take me to Rome. that's the message. He didn't say that this is back in time, but I saw that that's where it would be. And in the dream, I'm questioning myself. I don't know if I want to go back to that Rome back there. You know, I'm just in this own, my own conversation within this dream. Now, the fact that this man is so familiar to me, is one sort of a clue, you know. I don't know where I know this man from, but I sure know this man in the dream. So that means I'm very familiar with this person. Never saw him before as far as my reality here on Earth. Or today, or if I am here on Earth, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to figure out, but he's telling me, you know, he wants to take me to Rome. But the Rome he wants to take me to is not in our 20th century. It's way, way, way back in time. And I'm sort of resistant to that, saying I don't think I want to go back there. did I have an experience back there in a past life? You know, that's the other thing. Do we have past lives? I've had memories of past lives throughout my life today. I mean, you know, I've had past life experiences that are pretty profound and also lead to, let me say, persons that I meet in this timeline. You know how crazy that is, right?
No, it does. None of this is crazy to me because I saw the movie The Matrix, and there was a glitch in The Matrix where the cat, like, he disappeared and he came back and went back and forth past the door. And so I'm thinking, maybe in the process of all this, why we're having now these different realities and stuff, maybe somebody's tinkering with The Matrix, trying to wake us up and say, hey, you know what? You're not where you think you are.
Well, yeah, so this person, Broom, she's drawing comparisons here between existence and the holodeck.
Yeah.
of the USS Enterprise from Star Trek.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Now, the holodeck was a virtual reality system which created recreational experiences, and by her explanation, memory errors are software glitches. So, we know today that they have virtual reality systems where you can play a game and you're like in that reality. You can put these glasses on now and be experiencing a virtual reality, right?
Yeah, but I already said there ain't no way in the heck I'm putting on those glasses.
Well, no, neither am I, but are we...
You can't pay me enough.
But we do have that ability anyway. Do we have that ability already without the glasses?
Well, I'm thinking we do, but it would make it even worse, though, if I get inside there and I think I'm, like, in my real and I forget which one's real and which one ain't. I don't even know if this one's real.
So she says this is explained as being similar to the film The Matrix. You know, this Matrix film keeps popping up everywhere, right? So other theories propose that the mandala effect evidences changes in history caused by time travelers. Now, there's another woo-woo crazy thing. Time travelers. There's no such thing as time travelers. But... I don't know, you talk to Al Balik, or listen to Mr. Balik, I think his name is, which I'll get into next, who was a scientist who was involved in the Philadelphia experience, and they did time travel. Okay, this is government experiments, okay, so do we think the government is crazy? Yeah. Do we think their experiments are crazy? Yeah. But how can we say time travel doesn't exist when they have all the scientific evidence that they hid on us, and now it's coming out by whistleblowers?
Well, I fully believe that time travel's not only possible, but it's actually being done.
Well, I believe it's been done.
So I guess that makes me crazy.
I do too. But it's okay, we're crazy. I think we have to admit that we are crazy. I think we have to admit that we are in a crazy world. And that this is that the world herself isn't crazy, but that humans, or if we are humans or whatever, have created craziness, you know.
Well, it could be very well that our minds are so incredibly powerful that with the influence of Hollywood and maybe even some MI6 or CIA mind control techniques, they got us freaking out. We're like literally... creating alternate realities simultaneously, and because we're all interconnected via our brains, that we're actually, like, I remember something differently, but everybody who's actually tuned into my frequency is believing it too. They like, yeah, I remember it like that as well. And everybody who believes it like you remember it, they're believing it as well. So there's like a mixed match of all the collective consciousness, and everybody's thinking something different because we're all sitting here creating things in our mind, and it's basically going down the pipeline. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I do, because I do truly believe that we do create with our thoughts. I do believe that we have the power and ability to create things, life, our experience. I mean, let's just look at it. Well, let's try to use common sense, because I don't even know if we could even go there. Is there common sense even? I have no idea. But let's say we've been talking on these shows about the gift of was given to us originally as human ability to co-create or manifest our reality, okay? I mean, let's look at it. Let's just look at a simple piece here where we say, okay, if you wake up every day and you choose to make your day a good, happy, uplifting day and see everything as, you know, bright and all good, and this is going to be the direction I'm taking my life. You are manifesting and creating that experience, and those that are around you, your vibration or that frequency of happiness and everything's cool and good and I'm going in that direction will bounce off other people. Your frequency, that essence that you emanate, will bounce off other people and will affect them because they're in your immediate sphere, right?
Yeah, because it's now in their head that you just transmitted that thought into their head. Now that it's in their head, it's their idea. So to them, it was, you know, the way that they spelt Fruit Loops, you know, spelt like,
yeah,
fruit, or
well, it's like
Froot.
But we do affect each other. I mean, if we're angry and mad, everybody around us feels that anger and they get affected by it. And it's hard to keep a positive feeling or sense of things when the person next to you is angry and rude and screaming their heads off.
Yep.
And the same thing vice versa. So we do affect each other. But this is like on a level that is quite crazy, I guess you'd say. So just to go on with this, so there are claims that distortions result from spiritual attacks linked to Satan, to black magic, or witchcraft. But although appealing to many, these theories are not scientifically testable. No, they're not. So therefore, you're crazy if you believe that.
But here's the thing about that. If somebody is thinking something, and they actually have the power to co-create a reality, if I believe in an entity, it's real to me. If I don't believe into an entity or whatever, it's not real to me, and so that makes you crazy for talking about it. It's like AKA Bigfoot. Does he exist?
But it doesn't mean that it's not real.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Just because you don't want to think about it. And people say, oh, if I don't think about the dark evil, it's not going to be there. It'll go away.
Yeah, to me it's real. But to you, it may not be, but neither one of us are lying. We're both telling the truth because to us, that is our reality, you know? Like my friend, I could sit here and talk to him about aliens and Planet X and, you know, the sun gonna blow up or fry us all out, and he honestly believes everything about that. And
well, who created the monster? Okay, if the monster is lurking in your room at night and you sit up in bed and you say, nope, this isn't real, I'm not going there, no, I don't want to see it, no, it doesn't real, it's not real, it's not real, it's not real. Okay, magical thinking, but in fact, who brought the monster there?
Yeah.
Okay, because I could walk into the room and I could see the monster there and I could freak out because the monster is there. Just because you're sitting up in your bed saying, no, it's not there, I don't believe in monsters, no. Does not mean that monster does not exist.
And
this is what I'm saying, because frankly, I do believe that there are spiritual attacks. I've experienced them myself, and I know that, well, I'm going to say I'm crazy, but I know for me these are real, and other people have experienced them as well. There is black magic. There is witchcraft. There is these, I guess, you know, you say these ancient abilities of the manipulations of things, or calling in, you know, calling in an angel, or calling in an entity, a dark entity. This is messing with things, but people do that, have done that throughout time.
Well, I don't, like I said before, there's nothing in this world, after all the things that I've seen in my lifetime, that would ever surprise me.
Well, just because scientists cannot measure and weigh something, like this article says here, okay, it's scientifically untestable.
Well, science is what came up with quantum theory. In quantum theory, everything is possible.
And the string theory and the... So, but I'm just saying, if people are relying on the scientific theories, minds, that they are the only ones that can give us truth or reality, well, I'm going to say those people are crazy.
Yeah. Well,
if they believe that the science has the answer.
Speaking of the science, you know, I'm hardcore science. I studied science, I mean, since I was a child. I paid attention in school. And so when I question things like, you know, the stories of NASA and going to the moon and all that, and I talk to people about how some people believe the Earth is flat, I'm not even trying to tell them that I believe the Earth is flat. I'm just saying that some people out there believe that the Earth is flat. Well, and then they will go into exactly what the school book said, and they will start to argue. I mean, you can tell they're seriously getting frustrated because they think that I'm thinking that the Earth is flat. And I'm saying, look, I'm not even saying the Earth is flat. I couldn't know because I hadn't been far enough away to see from my own two eyes. But nonetheless, there are people out there who honestly believe this, and they believe
saying I don't know if I'm on the Earth. I think I'm on the Earth. I mean, how do we know we're really here on this Earth? How do we know?
We don't.
So, do you know the word confabulation?
I've heard it, but I don't know exactly the definition at the moment.
Okay, so here it is, the unconscious manufacture of fabricated or misinterpreted memories is called confabulation, and in everyday life, confabulation is relatively common.
Well, how about that whole deja vu thing, where like...
Deja vu, I love deja vu.
You feel like you've done this before, and I always tell everybody, I said, you know what, as far as I believe... You have done this before, but you just haven't done it yet.
That's my theory. I wrote that in my book about deja vu. I've had deja vus in my life throughout, you know, starting when I was young. And when you are in that, when you slip into that, it's like you're standing, for instance, I'll give you an example. I was walking down the hall in my cousin's house to go into the living room, and suddenly I was in another experience, and there were people there, the conversation and the persons, and my personal experience was real. It was the experience. So I'm going to explain it as I'm walking down. Let's say you're walking down a hallway, a long hallway, and at some point in that hallway, there's a parallel shift or a vibrational frequency that you enter into. We could say it's like a hidden doorway or a portal. So the portal is unseen by you, and you're just walking down the long hallway to go into the living room, yet you enter into this through this portal. It exists in that hallway. And you enter through this doorway, and you're in another experience, and it's very real. But the thing about the deja vu is that when you experience a deja vu, you say, it is so real. Okay, yeah. And why is it real? It's real because my theory is like yours. I believe that we have experienced that, and we went into this portal that is a future experience that we will have but we're having it simultaneously, past, present, future, we exist in.
Yeah.
And it's, so that's how I explain deja vu, that in fact we haven't gotten there yet in this timeline, but we had been in the, in that experience in the other timeline.
Yeah.
And we will get to it as we move out of this timeline, as we move, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, talk I about, know exactly what you're saying.
Talk about crazy.
That's the whole thing, man. You know, I have the conversations with people and I'm asking them stuff like what I do about common science questions, you know, like 1969, according to the textbook, we didn't have certain technology, but yet we were able to do these certain tasks, which now, to me, requires explanation. What type of batteries did they have back then, and how did they get past this deal right here? Because, you know, it's information that would be, you know, really awesome to have right now, because there's things that they say we have problems with that could be resolved, such as the so-called energy crisis, that if they were able to achieve this in this day, when the book said that they didn't have that technology type deal going on, you know, and so, but when you question that, the people who wholeheartedly believe that we went to the moon, man, they'll get frustrated and argue with you till you're blue in the face and look at you like you're stupid just for questioning what the narrative or whatever. And so that's where I get aggravated, because I'm just like, I'm not saying we didn't go. How could I know? I wasn't actually back there. But the question is, if we did go, how the heck did we do this with this old technology, when this particular technology just came around? You know, sealed lead acid batteries. They ain't that old. They're not all the way back to, you know, the 60s, 1969. And so we're told that space is a vacuum. So when you use an old lead acid battery, it had a vent on there, because when you put the load to it, it would actually do the electrolysis process and produce hydrogen. And the batteries used to have a label on it that says, danger, don't spark around this because of hydrogen release. Because when you put the load on there, the two different plates will actually begin the electrolysis process and separate the water molecules inside there and produce hydrogen. And so if it wasn't sealed, if it was sealed up, the battery would keep expanding until it blew up. It pressurized and popped, so they had to figure out a way to vent it. So if space is a vacuum, why didn't all that water get sucked out of that doggone vent? You know? And so, well, that's a plausible question.
Well, here's what I'm looking at. We have to look at these two pieces about, in regards to the Mandela effect and all what we're talking about. So, we have to realize that the notion of parallel universes is consistent now with the work of quantum physicists, as you spoke of, right?
Yep.
So this is a notion of parallel universes. It is consistent with the works of quantum physicists, but until the existence of alternative realities is actually established, psychological theories appear much more plausible.
Yeah.
And so we've got two things going on here. We've got the psychological theories, and we've got the physicists or quantum physicists in regards to parallel universes. So we kind of tend towards the psychological theories as more plausible, because the parallel universes, you know, has not been basically established. Okay, how do you establish that? How? I mean, we're listening to these quantum physicists, and they're saying this exists, but we don't know it.
Well, give you a crazy new a theory of what could potentially be happening. See, we all know about quantum computers, the new supercomputers that they talk about. And that's what some people believe is responsible for the Mandela effect, that quantum computers are actually making changes, you know, according to, you know, whatever it believes is the actual reality. But here's the thing. we know that our minds actually are basically thermal electric generators that actually produce a frequency. And so what is to say that an artificial intelligence couldn't actually tap into our brains, quite literally? I mean, we're standing here in a sea of magnetic fields, and any fluctuation in that field would actually tap into other fluctuations in that field, and all of that is data that's being processed by a supercomputer that is basically thinking for itself and trying to determine what is real and what isn't real. And then by the thoughts that we're actually creating in our minds, we're feeding that computer what it believes that we want to see. You see what I'm saying?
Well, so, I believe that we are communicating with us
without us even knowing that that's being communicated with.
Exactly. Well, I do believe that. That's why I say we have more power than we really realize on how to affect things. Because if you're not aware, if you're not aware, consciously aware that you are subject to outside influence, then you are easily influenced, okay?
Yep.
And if you are aware that we are subject as a being, that we can be and are being affected by outside influence, no matter what do you want to call it? It's like the frequency waves or 5G waves or electromagnetic waves or a person sitting on the other side of the world focusing on you saying, well, I'm going to send that person a message. If you are aware of this, then you can take steps. I do feel and believe this is a power we have, to be aware and alert of outside influence and what that feels like and how to not allow it into your sphere of consciousness.
I witnessed something at a funeral one time that has to do with the Mandela effect. I can't remember. It's one of the Psalms prayers that they always say at funerals and stuff like that. And I was listening to all three of my aunts that were present as they were reciting this prayer at the same time while the pastor was citing the prayer. But he read from the book a completely different version of what three aunts read. And they said this prayer all their lives, and so they knew the exact phrases of this, and they all three repeated it identical to what I remembered it, but the pastor reading from the actual book himself was reading it differently.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you a little story here about this whole memory thing, the remembering part. Now, I grew up, I had five siblings, right? And like my sister, my older sister was 4 years older than me. My older brother was 5 years older than me. One of my younger brothers was 3 years younger, and the other was 4 years younger. Okay, so that's about how we all, in that timeline. Now, we lived in an apartment up on above this. It was like a taxi stand where and a mail drop and place where, you know, I was born in 1942 in a town up here called New Paltz, New York. So I was born in 1942, and so my brothers and sister and I, quite a few years ago, decided to go back to that building because now it was a popular restaurant. Okay, it was over many years, this was now a popular restaurant, became a popular restaurant. The stairway to our apartment was the top deck of this restaurant. So the downstairs was the main part of the restaurant where it used to be a gathering for the town people, and they'd come in and sit around, and the taxi would come, and also the mail was delivered there and blah, blah. So then you went upstairs, and that was our apartment, but now it's part of the restaurant. So we're sitting at a big table, my brothers and sister and myself, And I'm saying, you know, we're in the area where the hallway in the bathroom used to be. You know, that's where our table was. And as we turned around, we said, well, that other part of the room there, that was the living room, and over there was Mom and Dad's bedroom, and over on the other side of us would be the kitchen and the other bedrooms, right? So we're talking about our lives in that apartment. We're sharing experiences, and we're laughing about things, and we're just there, what you do, you know, well, this happened, remember when that happened, and blah, blah, blah. And my one younger brother is sitting there, not saying a word. He's completely silenced, you know, and I'm just kind of like looking at him, and he's just listening to everybody, and we all are talking about our memories in that apartment. And he says to us, I don't remember one thing that you guys are talking about. He just had the startled look on his face, like a scared look. Yeah. He was like, I don't remember one thing that you guys are describing. And I saw his experience was that he was like almost terrified. It's like in his mind he was probably saying, what the heck, where was I? I know I was here, but I have no memory of any of what my siblings are talking about. You know? That's a pretty strange...
Well, it's mind-blowing. And, you know, I have a one of the old Concordance Bibles in my hand that I had since June 20th of 1975. And I actually went through and marked a bunch of different things in there that it just... I got memories of what was said in this deal, but there's one phrase I can't remember exactly which portion it is. I'll have to look it up later and get back with you on it. But it talked about how Jesus was telling people to bring thine enemies before me, or bring thine enemies and slay them before me. And it's talking about, he just said that he wanted the his disciples to bring the enemies and slay them before him. And I never, ever remember him ever talking about slaying anybody before him.
Yeah.
And that was an actual change that was in a book that was in my possession all this time. And I can't explain it, but Jesus never talked about slaying nobody. He was talking about loving thine enemy and such, you know. And
well, there's a lot of things that people claim that Jesus said, but they take things out of context, right?
Yeah.
This
is an actual physical change to a book that had been in my possession all this time. Either I just somehow or another over all these years missed it, or...
Well, maybe you didn't want to... Maybe when you read it, I'm just going to throw this out to you. Maybe when you read it, because of what you truly believe about Jesus, that he did, you know, profess that we should love each other, and that's all he taught, and so on, be kind and love each other, and so on, that in your mind, in your experience, the words he told them to slay these people in front of him, you just couldn't accept that.
No, and I actually took that to my pastor, who also did not remember this particular thing being said inside this book. And I'm asking, like,
so we look at this and say, okay, our minds can play tricks on us, for sure, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, in this example, it could possibly be that your mind, the way you have come to believe in certain things, as are imprinted in your mind, that Jesus is loving and good and would never say anything like that, that when your eyes read that in the book you were holding, it didn't compute.
Well,
part
of the prophecy said that in the last days there would be a great deception, that even the elect would be deceived. And
oh,
so,
that's happening.
Yeah, that's
all right. I don't know, but I'm not saying we're in the last days.
Saying that either. But that is part of the story, that you know, that there would be a great deception on the land, and
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so here we are talking about crazy stuff like Mandela effect, you know, things that in alternate realities changing, and just trying to get to the bottom of it, because, you know, I'd like to think that I'm at least partially sane. I understand that I'm probably not the most sane person on the planet, but what is sane anymore? I mean, seriously.
Well, we don't, that's the, forget that, trying to figure that out, but I'm going to say, okay, so if we can create our own reality, we basically choose the reality that we want to create.
Yeah.
That's what we do, because it's the way we function. We're choosing every day our reality, and we don't even know it. So, right, take that sentence right there and keep it aside and remember it. We, every day, create our own reality, but we don't even know it. Okay. So now we're looking at all these confusing things and what, for instance, what they're saying that the end times, these are the signs for the end times. Okay. And we just said, well, there will be deception and lies and blah, blah, blah in the end times. And I'm going to say, okay, if I'm aware that that says this in the Bible, I'm going to choose to not be part of that end times. I don't want to go there. I'm not ready yet to accept that this is the end time. So my reality, I'm manifesting and creating my own reality through what I feel inside myself is a great hope and a trust and a faith.
Yeah.
And I do believe that this is impacting. I believe that what we believe in our hearts and how we function and what we focus on, okay, is impacting our experience and our reality now. If you, me, and several other thousands of people believe that that we are having a beautiful experience, that we are aligning ourselves with light and love and compassion, the collective mindfulness of this, the collective consciousness of this, has a power and is impacting our very experience together, collectively,
yeah.
Right?
Stephen, so. Stephen in the chat room said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. See, that second part of the phrase, forgive us our trespassers as we forgive those who trespass, that's the one I remember.
And I remember that as well, but I also remember the other one coming into play.
Yeah.
So let's look at people's the ability that we have. If you have a certain level, a certain amount of people focusing on one thing, that's a power,
yeah.
Right? Do you agree?
Well, yeah, that's what I say. If there's somehow, you know, a lot of people believe that we are all interconnected as far as our minds and consciousness, and so if a portion of the society is thinking one thing, and the other portion's thinking another, to both sides, they're right. It is the reality that they.
It is their reality.
Yeah.
So let's say the hologram is put up in the sky, and it's the ET hologram of the attack of the ETs upon Earth. Okay, and so we're all standing there on the Earth in crowds of people. The whole of humanity is standing there looking up at the sky, and we're all seeing the same thing: this hologram of the ETs coming, shooting bombs at us, and whatever. Okay. So there's going to be a collective mass of people who are going to go terrified and running and screaming and carrying on. And another mass of people are going to say, oh, I know that this is a hologram. This
yeah.
isn't real. Okay, but those people over there who don't know about holograms and don't know about a false flag and don't know that this is perhaps an agenda. That
yeah, they'll be freaking out.
They'll be freaking out, and that's what the agenda basically is about, because, you know, you create mass hysteria, and then you bring in the soother, the one who's going to save everybody and make everything okay, so then you'll believe them.
Yeah.
You'll say, oh, wait, this is, I want to go there, this person's coming to save me, so I'm going to do whatever they say, because over there there's a spaceship coming and they're shooting at us.
And the rest
okay.
of the people are just crazy and have to be dealt with, because we can't have crazy people running around.
You can't have thinking people.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But
you can't have conscious people.
Those who follow the deception will look at us like we're crazy because, you know...
Don't you see the ETs are coming? What are you, crazy? Oh, those are crazy people.
You don't believe your own eyes? It's right there. There's aliens.
There's the Antichrist.
They're not there.
There's the giants. There's the reptilians. Now, I'm not saying that the reptilians don't exist. I've had my own personal experience with the reptilians. Now, you're going to say that woman is crazy.
No, I'm not.
I know you're not.
Because it wouldn't surprise me in the doggone least. I mean, I tell you what, this world... I've seen things, you know, I used to do experiments in my lab, and I actually put some videos out about some of the experiences I've had in my lab, one of which had to do with pyramids, and it wasn't the only experience in my life that had to do with pyramids, and so I've seen things in my lab that either the frequency ranges that I was tampering with caused me to seriously hallucinate, or I really teleported to some place where it wasn't here. Basically, let me explain it to you. I did this video called Mini Harp. There's two portions of it, but I did this video called Mini Harp, and I was showing that you could actually transmit wireless energy and actually cause light bulbs across the room to light up. And so this is what my intentions of the video was. But in the process of doing this, I kept tripping over the ground wire, and every time I trip over the ground wire, I'd have to reconnect it, you know, for safety purposes, because I'm using 20,000 volts to do all this stuff. Well, at some point in the game, I remember putting my batteries in my camera, but I don't remember ever taking them out, and or vice versa. Either way, at some point, I was standing there taking my batteries out of my camera, and suddenly I'm standing in the middle of the freaking desert, and there were three brand new shiny pyramids in the background, and I could feel the sun. And there was this guy that was standing on a hovering platform, like a, I don't know, it was almost like a surfboard, but not, bigger. And he's standing on this thing, and it's like some scene from a sci-fi movie. His mask opens up like this. It's like an old Egyptian kind of headdress-style mask. It opens up and winds around the back of his face. And he starts pointing at me and yelling, and I could feel the spit off of his lips. As he's sitting here telling me what he was going to do to me the next time I fired that thing up. And I'm like, I'm freaking out, right? And so, you know, I get, after this whole deal, I explained it in the video. It's called Mini Harp 1 and 2, I believe is the name of the video. And I was just trying to show how the actual harp could actually affect gases from a distance, and so you could actually superheat the ionosphere just like harp was supposedly doing.
Right.
And in the process of this, I either electrocuted myself and then was laying on the floor for an hour, or I hallucinated, or I actually teleported.
I love your experiments. I could just see you
so,
electrocuting yourself and having a parallel experience.
So I'm sitting there explaining to everybody. I said, look, I don't know whether I was laying on the floor for an hour or whether I was gone for an hour, but either way, I don't remember an entire hour of my time. So something happened here. I can't explain it because...
Well, I'm going to tell you a story to the listeners out there. So about parallel realms, okay? I've had numerous experiences in my life since childhood with parallel realms. So I was at a Sundance many years ago out in Pipestone, Minnesota. It was the first Sundance held there in over 200 years, because it was a sacred site, a place where all the ancient people from the beginning of humanity would go there, because there's the pipestone quarries. Now, the pipestone is the red stone that our sacred pipes are made from, and it's pretty much in Pipestone, Minnesota. It's on the Minnesota land, in that part of the world, and not too many places in this part of our Turtle Island have that red stone specific. So therefore, it was a gathering place. But when the Europeans arrived, when the colonizers arrived, that no longer became available for the Indian people, for their ceremonies, and basically their ceremonies were banned anyway. The right to pray and conduct their ceremonies in the manner that they had been doing for thousands of years. So we have a break in ceremonies and prayers and sacrifice of ourself in prayer for those who are ill, offerings, sacred offerings through the drum, through the songs, through the prayer and food offerings and so on. That was a break-in period of time for 200 years. Now, I was invited to go to the first Sundance ceremony, which is one of our most powerful ceremonies, okay, at this land. For the first ceremony was the gathering of the sacred pipes, okay. So there were hundreds and hundreds, literally hundreds and hundreds of sacred pipes there. And so I'm there, I was invited there, and there's an arbor, which is a large circular structure built with, cedar logs, and it's covered with branches of green evergreens and so on. So it's a big circle where the people who are supporting sit under and stand under. The drum is under there where the singers are. And in the center of this round is the sacred tree of life, which is very significant, by the way. There's always been the sacred tree of life created by Great Spirit, okay? And so anyway, I'm there, and we're there for 4 days, 4 nights in this prayer, this amazing ceremony. And every day, I was not dancing in the center of the arbor. I was asked to come there, so I was participating as a supporter. Now, imagine that every morning I get up before dawn, and that's the prayer call. You get up before dawn, all the dancers, the men and the women, gather in all their regalia, the way is tradition. And they're getting prepared to go in through the east gate into the center of this huge circle around to dance around the sacred tree of life all day long with short breaks and so on for 4 days. Now, this is a powerful building of an energy where all these people, hundreds of people, are focused on healing, on prayer, on peace, on all these positive things. You have hundreds of people, the sacred songs are being sung, the big drum is pounding, we call it the mother, the heart drum of the mother. So this is the scenario, okay? And I'm standing there every day. I chose a particular spot, the same spot every day, to go to stand in and pray and sing. And so there I am, and I'm looking above the heads of the dancers to a distant hill. In the distance, okay, this hill has numerous trees. It's like a little forest, and the trees are huge. So I'm looking at one point, I'm holding my gaze, and this is what I learned to do since I was a child, to see without looking what is really present in our world. And I'm looking off into the distance, and I'm standing, and I'm singing, and I'm dancing. And I'm holding my focus without, changing my perspective at all. I'm holding a focus on this one point on the trees in the distance. Now, on the third day, I'm in the same position, doing the same thing, singing and dancing, and holding my focus, my eyes, on this one point and this bunch of trees over there. And suddenly something starts to happen. I notice a shimmering, a vibration within the trees. You know, this is like a lot of trees, it's a lot of packed leaves, but within that point where I am looking, there's a shimmering, a movement, like a vibration started to occur. And out of that vibration of the trees and leaves came a figure, appeared a figure. The figure was taller than these giant trees, and it was a complete human shape filled with leaves, green leaves, all shimmering. So, you know, it's like, imagine that. You say, well, a person covered with leaves, but in fact it was not a visible person. It was just the shape, okay, of a human that we look at ourselves like that. So I'm looking at this, and I'm just holding, still holding my gaze, because now I'm in awe. All right, now something is going on. I'm in a parallel realm. I'm viewing an experience that I'm all alone with this frequency, this vibration. I don't hear the drums anymore. I don't see the people. I'm just in this experience. Now, next, aside from this giant figure, another vibration starts to occur. And out of that vibration, that movement, comes a smaller being. Like maybe a child. I can't say, but it was a smaller being, all leafed being. And it's, so two beings are standing there looking out toward the Sundance, right? And I'm observing this. And in my mind, I'm saying, don't look aside, don't look away, because it'll disappear, it will go away. Because that's often what happens. I've learned that over the years. So now I'm thinking to myself, is anybody else seeing this? This is awesome. What is this? What's going on, right? I know I'm in a miracle experience, and I call them miracles because this is not your ordinary, everyday experience, okay? So then they started to vibrate again, and they started to disappear. And then I heard this voice. I heard the words of these beings, and they said to me, we heard the drums, we heard the singing and the tears of the people, and we remember that this is the way it used to be. But for hundreds of years, of course, as I said to you, the people were no longer there. The prayers and the drum and singing was no longer there. So the beings left. They told me, we left this area because no longer the people were coming to pray. They no longer held this frequency, this vibration, okay? So we left because the people no longer showed up with their offerings. But we are going to go back and tell the ancestors that the people have returned. So I observed this parallel experience. So these beings that used to be there, present for hundreds and hundreds of years, when the people, the Indian people, were there, they left after a time because there's nobody there to, we call it feeding the spirits, okay? Feeding the spirits mean you offer them food, prayer, song, dance, and so on. That's the frequency, the energy of your relationship with the spirits of that place. You understand?
Yeah.
So I saw that. I saw this parallel realm. I saw these beings who are ever present, by the way. It's just that they don't show themselves to us. And if you don't believe it, you're never going to see it anyway. Because you just have, you know, you're blocking that ability.
Well, that's the whole thing. A lot of it's what your belief is a strong thing.
Absolutely.
If you don't believe in nothing, then
You don't believe in miracles, I'm sorry, you're not going to have any miracles. So that's going to just fulfill your own prophecy by saying, "Now there are no miracles." But you don't believe them, so there's not going to be any miracles for you.
Yep.
Now, I'm sitting here on my land. We have 103 acres here. I'm sitting down by the pond last year. Now, I've been sitting here for 2 years at that pond. And looking at the pond, every area around the pond, I'm very familiar with what it all looks like. And last year, I went down there one morning, and I'm sitting there, and I'm looking across the pond. It's like a 5-acre pond. And on the other side, I see this doorway nature, okay, in the forest. There's an exact, as though somebody went over there and placed a doorway. You know, a perfect square, you know,
yeah,
a doorway. I'm sitting there and I'm looking at this and say, wow, this wasn't there yesterday. It's not been there for a couple of years. And I'm looking at this and say, well, there's a portal here on this land. Now, I've known there's a portal, and there are other portals throughout the whole world, and some other people have actually talked about these portals and, you know, expressed their viewing or experience with portals. Ancient cultures talk about portals. Scientists are now talking about portals. They're talking about, you know, like entering into a portal, going into a parallel realm.
Well,
this door...
you know, there's a couple incidents where I would be driving home, and you know how long it usually takes you to get home. And, like, you could remember driving, you remember getting in and starting to drive, But then when you finally get to your destination, you don't remember nothing about the trip. So it's almost like instantaneously you went through something like a portal and you're already at your destination. You don't even remember driving the whole trip.
So either, I've had those experiences too.
So either you were on autopilot thinking about something completely different, or you literally teleported from one portion of town to your destination.
Well, have you ever been driving in a place that you've driven for pretty much most of your life, and as you're driving down that road, suddenly you're in an experience where you say, I don't recognize this place.
Yeah, where in the heck am I at?
Where am I? And all of a sudden you feel kind of squirrely.
Yep.
Because you're trying to get the recognition that is familiar to you, but it's not there. You're looking around at the scenery as you're driving. You say, this is unfamiliar to me, but yet you've known that place forever.
I asked my wife a couple different occasions. I said, where in the heck are we at? She's like, are you crazy?
You gotta
be here all the time.
So here's the thing. I'm looking at this Al Balik. He was involved. He got involved. Well, let's say he got captured by the hidden cabal who were doing these experiments. And the one was called the Montauk Project and also the Philadelphia Experiments, right? It's a time travel mind control experiments that the government was doing. And this is not fantasy. This is really factual. But this man, Al Balik, he was brainwashed, okay, there you go, to be part of this experiment. So he was living two lives, simultaneously living the life of... not his real name, Al Balik, his other life. Al Balik, he was created to be Al Balik, who had a whole other life, and he was a scientist and so on. And he was brought into this Philadelphia experiment and the Montauk Project, okay? So he gave an update in his talk in 1991 on the current use of mind control and psychic warfare. He also offered a more detailed account of his experience in the Montauk Project, which was also known as the Phoenix Project. They used Balik and his brother Duncan Cameron to explore the underground cities of Mars. So, it's really fascinating, okay? This guy, I've been looking at him on YouTube lately because I knew about him. I read his book years ago about the Philadelphia experiment. So, okay, the questioner asks him, regarding your experience on Mars, you walked through the time tunnel, you take a step and you're on Mars. What did you see? And Al Balik says, well, I was not on the surface of Mars, we were in the underground. The story goes back to the Alternative 3 book, the TV production in England, outlining the fact that we have Mars bases, one or more actually, provided by a joint operation with the U.S. government. I do not know if the Russians are in on it and the aliens. They are on the surface basis, and it's a world government operation that's not strictly the United States government. So after they were on the surface, which was about 1969, now think of this timeline here.
Yeah, as that's we when have we just said, supposed to went to the moon.
As we have said, that they have been doing things, they're far advanced than they're letting us know, right? So they found on the surface that there were entrances to the underground that were sealed, and they knew there was something down there. The rumors were that there was probably artifacts from an ancient civilization buried underground because there were a lot of remains above ground, ruined cities that have been there by... that have been there by NASA's estimates, maybe 300,000 years.
Wow.
Think of that. So, but they found the entrances were blocked. They were all sealed off, and so we can't get into the underground of Mars. And yes, somebody said, I think we can. Give us some coordinates. So this was NASA on Earth. They communicated with them, and the people up there said, we can't get into the underground. And they said, well, we think we can. Give us some coordinates on the surface of the planet. We'll have to run astronomical computations, which they did, and they unplugged these all into... Oh, wait. They did, and they plugged these all into the computer. Now, this is what the computer has the capacity to do. These people are on Mars. They say they can't get into this underground tunnel because they're blocked. And NASA says, yes, we can. Just give us the coordinates on the surface of the of Mars. Then they'll run it an astronomical computation, which they did. And basically, they put this into the computers. They wanted two people to go, and it happened to be Duncan and himself. So Duncan and his brother went. So they sent us, and we went up there into the underground using the Montauk time-space tunnel device developed as a result of the Philadelphia experiment. There was a problem with light. We had to take lighting which with us at the time. Later on, if I remember, we found some of their light sources and turned those on. We found eventually that the last remnants of the Martians, if you wish to call them that, died in the underground between 10 and 20,000 years ago by estimate, and they left everything they had of their civilization underground, and we found enormous amounts of statuary which appeared to be religious. And the questioner says, well, what did they look like and how big were they? And he says, Abelik says, typically 6, 7, 8 foot tall stone gems embedded in them and so forth. And the questionnaire says, were these human-like people? And Abelik says, yes, they were quite well preserved. Then we found archives. We found a lot of scientific equipment. We found electronic equipment down there, tons and tons of stuff. And the rumor was also later that, I didn't recall until Duncan reminded me of this, but he said, don't forget the 17,000 metric tons of Martian gold that they took out.
Wow.
According to his recollection, it was very strange gold. It was 5 times denser than ours. It was worth an unbelievable fortune. Where it went, we have no idea. But it was returned to Montauk there, Long Island, Montauk. And from where it went, nobody knows. So this is now, this sounds crazy, right, to everyone probably listening. But you know, it's interesting that in our indigenous culture, the people have said that they have traveled to the moon, they have traveled to Mars and outer planets themselves. And they know that there were beings living on these other in these other places. So this is ancient knowledge passed down for centuries and millennia, and well, people would say, well, these Indians, they're crazy, you know. What are they talking about?
Well, as I'm sitting here listening, I watch it unfold in my mind like a doggone movie, and nothing in this world, like I said, nothing in this world or off this world would ever surprise me. The whole thing is, so many people in this world have so many different views of what this world actually is. But it just blows my mind. I mean, it's as simple as that you know, two people can have two separate memories of the same event, and neither one of them we would consider to be crazy. If that
well,
makes any sense.
Yeah, I just popped this article in on the chat on People for People, in case anybody's interested. There's a lot more here, you know. But basically, getting back to the, is the world crazy or are the people crazy, you know? I do think that there's a lot of crazy people out there. I'm not saying this Balik guy, this scientist, is crazy. To me personally, when I read all this stuff going on, and I've read other stuff and researched other stuff, I do believe that there are experiments being done by our government for, you know, pretty long while now, and other governments. So I kind of tend more towards that these are factual things.
Well, I kind of believe that as well, that, you know, because if you take and really seriously listen to all the different conspiracies out there and all the different scenarios, whether they be aliens, hollow moon, hollow earth, or flat earth, or round earth, or Mars, or bases on Mars, or even the planet X. Where did all this where did all this original information come from? And if you go actually, if you decide you're going to go down the rabbit hole to basically research any one of these subjects, there are people out there who have compiled, whether it be, you know, a fictional story or a factional story or semi-factional, fictional or factual, you know, half truth or not, they compiled a lot of compelling information that would lead one to believe that this particular one is right. And then you go on the opposite side of the spectrum, the debunker side of it would do just the same, compile just as much information saying that it's wrong. And if you want to talk about messing with somebody's head, yeah, that's a lot of information just to slap together on a lie, if you understand what I'm saying. I mean...
Well, so, you know, the thing is about the truth or fiction here piece, because... we have seen NASA's films and shots of the moon surface and various other things, and I know they right away, you know, conspiracy theorists will jump on it and say, look, there's a face on the moon, and of course they're conspiracy theorists, so that it's pushed in the mainstream media that these people are nutcases, they see a face on the moon. But if you look at that, NASA photograph, it is looking like a face to me, or pyramids or whatever. But now you have the debunking going on, because that's deliberate. They need to debunk that there were ancient civilizations and that we really did go to the moon, or we didn't go to the moon, or it was a movie set somewhere, I don't know.
Well, let's say hypothetically they really actually did go to the moon, which is another conspiracy out there, that not that they didn't go to the moon, but they did go to the moon, but when they got there they found somebody else was there already. And somebody else told them that never to come back. Otherwise, there'd be retribution. And so, you know, there's like people that believe that there's actually still alien bases on the moon. But, you know, nonetheless, you know what an MRI is? Have you ever been inside an MRI?
Yes.
Well.
Scary.
Yeah, well, I'm probably the last one that needs to be in an MRI, because they found out I still have a piece of metal in my head from an episode years ago. But anyway, when I got inside that doggone thing, first I'm claustrophobic as all get out, and
yeah,
so, you know,
exactly.
I had a hard time of actually being in the doggone thing, and they had to pull me out at one point and calm me down, and then that way they could put me back in, and I said, I just like laying there visualizing I'm at home on the couch, and just that's how I dealt with it, because they wanted to medicate me, and I didn't want to be medicated, because then I'd be like, you know, really freaking out. But either way, during this MRI, I had this, what I perceived to be a hallucination of people telling me that the people who actually built the pyramids were coming back. And
yeah,
why I had that vision in the doggone MRI, you know, of course, I just mentioned I did that video called Mini Harp, where it could either be I electrocuted myself and was laying on the floor dreaming, or I messed with my brain waves or whatever,
yep.
But the two of them seem to be compatible to having to do something with a past, society, whoever actually built the pyramids.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I was a kid, ever since I was born with what they refer to as a caul, C-A-U-L, which means it's a veil or a light veil of a skin across your face as an infant, and not everyone has this, but in the old country or in the way of the indigenous people, it means that you are a visionary. You will be a visionary, a prophet or visionary and so on, and you have psychic ability. So that's what the caul represents. Now, so I had a lot of unusual experiences as a child. You know, I was able to see things that other people couldn't see. I received visions and prophetic things that were going to happen. And I would often hear this guidance, what I call the guidance from the ancestors. And I was told, now I'm around 10 or 11, and I was told that those pyramids were built by the star people. Okay. Using, you know, vibrational frequencies. And, you know, years later, I met my teacher, Wallace Black Elk, who said to me, you know, years ago in ancient ways, we used to levitate monster stones through frequency of the eagle bone whistle. The eagle bone whistle is made from one of the bones in the eagle's leg, and it's blown during ceremony. It's a high-pitched frequency, and it's a communicator, okay, a high-frequency communicator to the you know, other realms, I guess you'd say. He said we used to levitate stones with that frequency.
Well, in the vision, before I ever heard anything about, the actual construction, about what people believed that the actual construction was like, what I saw was quite literally like a white-colored, shiny pyramid with a golden capstone on the top of it.
Yeah, well, that's the original way it looked.
And that's what I saw in the vision, but that's before
I
actually
did it. Yeah, which is amazing, because no one has seen that. That's just how they tell us it was.
Yeah, before ever looking into, researching into what these things supposedly used to look like,
yeah,
this is when this occurred, and I actually saw, and they were actually quite beautiful. I mean, they were,
Well, they're also aligned 10,000 years ago. You see, the Egyptian theory is that they were built 6,000 years ago by Khufu, Pharaoh Khufu. They were for his burial, but that's not true. And actually, 10,000 years ago, most of these civilizations, and even further back, and I'd like to talk about that now, they're finding further civilizations, highly advanced civilizations much further back, that is basically rewriting our entire history. So the thing with the temple, or the Giza, the pyramids, were aligned exactly in alignment 10,000 years ago with Orion's belt.
Well, in that vision that I had, they were not tombs. They were more like power plants or something.
Well, they aren't tombs. They were power plants. You see, this is the whole point, because they had a frequency. The stones have a particular frequency of use, and then they were covered with this other surface, like you saw in your vision. And these have frequencies, and they can be activated through certain ceremony or ritual or elements being used. It's the same thing with all the sacred sites, the monolithic sites, and all these. Certain stones are imbued within them that have a sound frequency. When activated, they emanate a frequency sound, a tune, a high quality of communication through what we call the web, or other people call it the ley lines on the earth. But all the temples and all these monolithic structures are in alignment, okay, on this grid, which is, which has been measured, and they are connected throughout the whole of the world. What was the purpose of that? How did these ancient cultures know? And they're aligned with the equinoxes, with the solstices, and they were built of using certain elements, and they're monolithic, and they all have the same measurements. They all have the sacred geometries that they've used, and the pi, and the measurements of the earth. The same identical measurement of the earth. If you measure the earth around its circumference, these pyramid structures have the same degrees of measurements. How did these people all over the earth, there's something going on here.
Well, imagine a great flood occurred, wiping out all those people who would have put that in there, with exception whoever escaped, I guess. And then kind of like a caveman style culture began, and people actually stumbled upon these things, and basically was pretty much in awe about it, and built the Egyptian civilization around them. Because I don't believe the Egyptians are the one that built those pyramids.
No, they're not. They're absolutely, because it's 10,000 years ago, not 6,000 years ago. But let's go to this particular archaeological site. Most people now have heard of Göbekli Tepe. Have you heard of it?
Uh-uh.
Well, you should, okay, because this archaeological site is rewriting our entire understanding of human history. This is an extraordinary, extraordinary place. These are Neolithic archaeological ruins. They were first uncovered in the 1960s, but their significance wasn't truly realized until 1994. Now, it's located in southeastern Turkey. Although it predates the establishment of the country by a significant amount of time, in fact, Göbekli Tepe is so old and complex that it is rewriting our understanding of not just Turkish history, but the entire history of humanity. So it's based on everything we know about our modern civilization that got its start. Göbekli Tepe should not exist, okay? In other words, this monolithic site that is so extraordinary should not exist, okay, based on our history. However, it does exist, and it has existed for more than 12,000 years.
So let's talk now, crazy about that for a second, all right?
Yeah.
Well, let's say hypothetically that all these realms are, like, clashing right now. There are things that in our history would not have existed had these two deals hadn't emerged. Back in the day, whenever CERN was running their experiments, they actually got the power rating up to 13,000 terabolts or something like that. 13 terabolts. It's a lot of power. All right. And so, what if? I'm not saying it's the truth. I'm just saying, asking the question, what if during that time they did something to the entire deal where all these realities began to either cross paths with each other, you know, like resonant frequencies riding on top of each other and basically bouncing back and forth, like that sock we mentioned earlier. One minute that dang sock was there, and the next minute it's just up and gone, and I'm like, where'd my sock go? You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, tampering with our version of the reality, whether it be mentally or actually, quite literally, physically, on the quantum realm, because if you go study up quantum theory, and the things that they say could be possible in quantum theory, you know, it's just mind-blowing. And the string theory you mentioned earlier, all these different things, you know, basically interfering with this reality that we're perceiving right now, plus the fact that part of us may have been the part that was on this side where these things were a reality, and the part of us that was on this side, and somehow or another in that shift back and forth, half of us was over there and half of us was over there. So now there's two other halves. If I haven't lost you yet, part of us is over there with part of them, and part of them is over here with part of us now. And we remember things differently because we were on two separate timelines and two separate realities, and it all happened the moment they turned that switch on and ramped that thing up to 13 terabolts. Now, I know that sounds crazy as all get out, but I've seen all the sci-fi movies, so nothing would surprise me anymore.
Well, there's one thing I'm going to throw out to you here. So this is this archaeological is one of the most important archaeological discoveries ever made. Now, what this does, so you're talking 12,000 years old, this amazing society.
Which may have been the other world's history, and now it's ours. You see what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, it's a possibility, but why did it appear now into ours?
It's a good question.
And so, be discovered...
And who's going to straighten that mess out? Because...
But we could say, okay, things are happening that we need to know. We could say that. So some benevolent being is giving us information of truths of things, of the mystery, the great mystery, part of the great mystery, which of course a mystery is something we never really fully understand or understand or know about, but there are things unfolding in our timeline now that are exposing mysterious things and mysterious circumstances that are mind-blowing and that you could say are crazy.
Well, what if it was my fault? Seriously.
Because... No.
The guy
responsible. I'm going to hold you responsible for this.
The guy on the hovering platform, while he was yelling at me, was telling me about all the things that he has to now fix because of my stupidity.
Right.
And
that's a possibility because we are affecting and continually affecting our experience. And maybe we are messing with things that we shouldn't be messing with, like CERN. We are messing with things that we shouldn't be messing with.
Yeah, but I did it at 20,000 volts. CERN did it at 13 teravolts, so they're more responsible than I would have been.
Are you the one who opened the portal to let the demons out? That's what I want to know.
I hope not.
If you're responsible for that, you better make fast restitution. I don't know.
I hope not, but I'm going to have to get in my lab and try to figure out a way to put it all back the way it was or something.
Well, I popped this information here on this Göbekli Tepe into the Skype for you and for the people on chat. It's because this is an important piece here, you know. It's in a time period that is generally considered to be pre-civilization, folks.
Is it a video or a page?
No, it's written. You can probably... No,
okay,
it's a page.
I just didn't want to click on it if it's going to start...
No, and so listen to these words. Okay, this is dates back 12,000 years, placing it in a time period that is generally considered to be pre-civilization. So it was... Listen to this. This was built right around the same time that the last ice age ended. And wow. Then it went on to be an active civilization for nearly three millennia before, but it was be abandoned under mysterious circumstances. And this is really amazing. 9,000 years ago, this site was abandoned. 9,000 years ago. And I want to tell you, mysterious circumstances, I'll say. Mysterious circumstances for sure, because it was deliberately filled in with tons and tons and tons and tons of sand to cover this archaeological site up.
Wow.
Why? Why? They can't figure out why that was done. I feel that perhaps it's like the stone formations that we have here on our land. The sacred stone walls, the turtle effigies, mounds, these ancient sites here, we have them on our land here. They're all over the world. They were left for us as a sign, as signals, as information. It's like a book. They didn't have writing. They didn't have a way to make, you know, paper and writing, but they left us these stone formations, these temples, and everything with, by the way, with figures carved into them, which are just amazing, as a book. They left us. So now this Göbekli Tepe predates Stonehenge and Sumer by over 6,000 years. What? What? Who? What? Think of it. Wow, talk about changing our history. Surely changes the Bible, doesn't it? The Bible says when the earth was formed and civilization was formed, and I want to tell you people, I am not a relative of a monkey. Well, I'm going to say I'm not born of the monkeys. I am a relative. All beings are our relatives in our way of thinking. But I did not come from the monkeys. I didn't. I'm sorry. I don't go for that.
I ain't no monkey either. I might look like one at times, but
just monkeying around.
This is extremely fascinating, and because I was sitting there looking at some of these sculptures that you was talking about that's on there, and if it was during the time when the hunter gatherers were supposed to be there, you know, and they had carving skills like that.
Well, this is the whole point, you see, but this is what our authorities tell us, that these were stone-wielding hunter-gatherers that didn't have language, that just grunted at each other, okay? Yeah. Now that we're looking at this, you know, this civilization that had such high function and high technology around when the Ice Age just ended, this is an impossibility according to our history, according to what the authorities tell us. So Göbekli Tepe is so old, okay? The fact that it's so old isn't the only significant thing about it. It's the skilled architectural style seen in the construction of its many temples, seriously impressive, and would be in any era. In other words, this is like a monumental. It's the combination of the age and the construction quality is what makes it such an earth-shaking revelation for the archaeological authorities. And I'm using the word authorities. Okay, this, the craftsmanship is thousands of years ahead of its time. Think of that. It dates back to long before such construction should have been possible. Are you talking about manpower, engineering, and project managing required for such an endeavor all seem feasible given where human civilization was understood to be at the time, but the very existence of these temples has forced archaeologists to rethink the dawn of civilization. We're talking the dawn of civilization, folks, here.
So are these, yeah. So are these so-called authorities messing with our head?
They have been messing with our heads. They don't want us to know. Oh, you know, they don't want us to know. I am a neighbor of Anthony West. I've known him for years, and if anybody knows about Anthony West, he's the one basically that has been, he's the first one along with a partner, who I can't remember his name, has gone to Gaza, the pyramids, and the, you know, the, what is it that, site, the lion, what is it? I can't remember the, what we call that. The Sphinx. Okay, he's gone, and he's the first one who said, who claimed that the Sphinx is older and the pyramids are older, that they're 10,000 years old, and that there was erosion, water erosion, all around the Sphinx. Now, this created a big hoo-ha there in Egypt, because the Egyptian archaeologists and their, the way they have to have everything, they're in control, and they say that's impossible, but he has proven it. Now, you know, here's a man who, you know, he's a researcher and author and, you know, so on and so forth, and he's gone there, and he's shown this and proven this, this Anthony West with other people, and he's basically proven that the pyramids are 10,000 years old, that the Sphinx actually aligns 10,000 years ago with Leo, the planet Leo, and the pyramids align with Orion's belt, all 10,000 years ago. Perfect alignment. Okay?
Yeah.
So we're talking hundreds of people would have been needed to erect this massive temples, and it would have taken them quite a while, requiring the kind of social stability that just wasn't expected for human life then. After all, they're stone-wielding grunters. They don't know nothing. But now they're talking about social stability, okay? And it also would have required some serious organization, which should have been possible without a sophisticated social structure that was already in place. Humankind may unfortunately never know who the brilliant minds behind Göbekli Tepe actually were. It's just extraordinary, folks. You have to look at it, read it. We've been lied to. Oh, we know. We've been lied to all along about human, the whole population of humanity's origins, you know, history. Even here on Turtle Island, you know, you go to school, you learn that the Indians were savages, that they were the demon devil worshippers, and that the all this stuff, you know, they should have been eliminated because they weren't Christians, and they were. We've just been lied to because this is what the controllers, the cabal, the elite, they don't want us to know the truth.
Well,
you know,
let's talk about some real science for a second. Now, we're talking about all kinds of stuff that maybe to a lot of people may sound to be crazy. But I want to point you out to an article, and I'll post the link in the chat room. And the headline says, "Hear voices? Question mark. It may be an ad. An A&E billboard whispers a spooky message audible only in your head, pushed to promote its new paranormal program." And this particular deal was written by somebody named Andrew Hamp, published on December 10th of 2007. And essentially, it was a billboard where they used frequency ranges to literally transmit a sound into your head. Your ears, you're not hearing it. It's called a holosonics, or that's the founder of holosonics, his actual company that did it. And basically uses technology that sends out a signal that your brain can understand, But it's not sending out an acoustic. It's more of a sonic sound wave that comes out or whatever that resonates with the range that your brain can actually understand. It's crazy. But that's 2007. We're in 2018. So if that technology was available back then, you could only imagine what they'd have available now. You see what I mean? Did I lose you? Maybe I lost her.
Anyway. It's on mute.
Oh, okay.
I was on mute. I'm actually thinking and looking at stuff like why and how normal people go mad, what makes people crazy, 10 reasons why crazy people are more likely to be successful. Is it just me or is the world going crazy?
I'm gonna post this link in the Skype for you and you check it out. But this would be an explanation why people would be going crazy, because you know there's a lot of people that claim they're hearing voices in their heads, and maybe they're not crazy.
Oh well, there's technology about that. That's deliberate. They're calling it the God voice.
Well, check out that link right there. That's and I'll post it over there in people Skype as well, so that somebody can grab it over there and share it.
Yeah, well, it may be an ad, but do you know about the God voice?
Well, that's what I'm saying. If they have this technology, then you could quite literally go around telling people to do crazy stuff, and they'd think they heard God say, yeah, go do crazy stuff, and it's just some jerk behind a microphone trying to see what he can get people to do.
You know? Yeah, well, it's a technology, basically, that is apparently very real. Again, one of those scientific things that they've been messing with people.
Let me tell you a story, and I actually did a video about this. All right, I did a video called Reality. All right, well, the story goes like this, and this is my reality. So whether it happened or didn't happen, I don't know. I'm just telling you what I did. I was messing around with some of my Tesla coils in my laboratory. And I had a digital synthesizer hooked up with a microphone. And what I was trying to do was basically send a radio signal from the Tesla coil through the synthesizer, through the Tesla coil, and into my doggone stereo, so that I could basically do like a little radio transmission shortwave right over there to my stereo. Well, I tuned through a whole bunch of different frequencies, and my stereo freaked out, my computer freaked out, the door on my 6-disc CD changer kept flopping open and that until it finally jammed, and it stuck out to this very day. But as I'm doing this, and I'm trying to listen to the stereo, I'm banging on the microphone, and I'm saying like this, "Oh," in the microphone, trying to see if I could hear it through the speakers. Well, I never did. And so I just basically figured it was a loss. So anyway, about a week or so later, I'm out there skimming YouTube, seeing what kind of other stuff people was looking into, and I stumbled onto this video, Apocalyptic Sounds Heard Around the World.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, what? So I click on this doggone thing, and I'm telling you what, instantaneously, the moment I heard that noise, I knew exactly what it was, and exactly where it came from, and exactly how it came to be. And because that's why I put that video out there, was so not to claim nothing, just so people would put two and two together, and hear those sounds that were perceived as apocalyptic sounds heard around the earth, and hear the sounds that I made with a digital synthesizer, and you make your own mind up from that point. But the thing is, scientifically, and using Tesla technology with my earth ground that I had going on, I'm sitting on a water table. And all the way through Missouri are all kinds of cave systems that have piezoelectric crystals and irons and different minerals in the ground. And so if I'm sending a signal and I'm trying to transmit out towards the air to go that way, but the majority of the signal is actually beaming down into the ground, hits that water table, sends a ripple out, interacts with the piezoelectric crystals in the caves, you couldn't ask for a better base cannon than a cave full of crystals. Alright, so I just made a doggone amplifier out of the doggone ground, and now somebody, poor guy standing down the deals, hearing all this going on out there, and thinking that the world is coming to an end. It's apocalyptic sounds heard around the world. Those are the videos. But go look at my doggone video called Reality and listen to what was going on in that video, and then go watch those doggone apocalyptic sounds heard around the world and tell me if you didn't think that that was the same doggone jive turkey sitting there playing on a microphone.
Well, I'm gonna talk about that, because these sounds are, there's many different types of sounds. It's not just one. There's many different types of sounds, and I've heard them here one night over a year ago.
I was banging on the microphone too.
No, I was overnight outside in the middle of the night. I started to hear this wave of sound that is not ever heard here, and it was not what you're talking about. I know what you're saying, but there's something else is going on, because these sounds are unique. They're not the same. They're not similar. There's many variations of the unknown sounds that are happening throughout the world.
Yeah.
Some of them sound like trumpets. Some of them sounds like screeching. Some of them sounds like a running motor, like a freight train in the distance where you hear, but there's no freight train, and so on and so forth. And some of them give chills right up your back, right? But so there's scientific or whatever experiments and messing with the system here, the whole of the earth. We know, like you were saying, what you were doing, an experiment, right?
Yep.
But there's something is going on that is beyond our comprehension. Is it human, man-made, or is it earthly or unknown something?
Well, keep in mind, I'm not the only one that was doing experiments with these types of coils all this time. You know, CERN, even though they're actually below ground, but they're still grounded to the earth. And so when you fire that thing up, you're going to cause all kinds of reaction. It's no different than the opera singer putting out a tone towards a glass and finding that resonant frequency and then kicking it one tone over and shattering that glass.
So I had something given to me that night, because I was questioning, knowing how CERN, for instance, and the CERN is only one of many of these things that they're experimenting with, messing with the web, messing with the realms, messing with the frequencies, messing with everything. Okay, so you have a combination, and scientists in their garages also. But I'm just saying on a bigger scale. And so the sound to me is like the tearing of the veil. It's like the opening of, and CERN was definitely saying that they are opening the portals opening a portal. They're looking for the whatevers. I don't even know, God particle. They want to be creators. They said we're going to be gods ourselves. So they're messing with the unknown, unseen, and the mystery. And it was almost like this great tearing and ripping. It's like the ripping of the veil, okay?
Yeah.
The opening up and the assault upon the natural creation. This is how the message came to me. So something not good, by the way. This is not good.
Well, just with my little experiments alone, all right? That's, tampering with stuff that I'm really not 100% positive, but my intentions weren't to try to, send out a wave through the ground. I was trying
to...
Well,
you're not looking to bring up the demons.
No. I was just trying to do wireless energy transmissions.
But they are, right?
And all them.
So let's go back to weaponized mind control. We're talking about, is the world crazy or are people crazy? This voice of God, it's weaponized mind control. It's a frequency technology, okay? So people actually hear a voice in their heads that says, I am God, do this, do that, and so on. The voice of God, it's called. And this appears that some of the troops in Iraq are using spoken as opposed to screeching, L-R-A-D. What's L-R-A-D?
LRAD?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a land radar.
Okay, so they're using this to mess with enemy fighters. So, for instance, the Islamic terrorists tend to be superstitious and, of course, very religious. LRAD could put the word of God into their heads. And if God, in the form of a voice that only you can hear yourself, right, tells you to surrender or run away, what are you going to do? Basically, that's you follow what the voice in your head is being spoken. Now,
during the Iraq War, there were stories coming out of how the Republican Guard actually were surrendering to the American people like that.
That's right. So they're saying here that they were using this LRAD, there is an device, long-range acoustic devices. There's a website, actually, a link here to their website, but I started talking about voices in our heads years ago because I realized that people were coming to me for help saying that they're almost embarrassed to tell me, but that they were hearing these strange messages in their heads. And creepy stuff, you know? Really creepy stuff. And I started to look into this, and I realized that there is an influence here that is happening. Of course, I didn't know about LRAD, and I didn't know then about CERN. I didn't know about these electromagnetic waves, but I knew something was happening to people, that they were hearing, these voices, almost like you feel like you're schizophrenic, right?
Yeah.
And it's very nasty and dangerous technology, but it's being used against the public here, it says, and it has been a major tool to spread misinformation through the truther movement.
Yeah.
And to discredit legitimate contacts and communications with non-terrestrials. So they're using this stuff.
Well, seriously, and anybody with common sense knows that if they had access to technology such as this billboard right here, the military would understand that could be a powerful tool during war. If you can send a message in somebody's head and they're not hearing nothing, but they're hearing it, that's a powerful tool. They could scare the living snot out of somebody and make them believe that they're under attack by giant monsters or something like that. And when in reality, it's just some man behind a microphone playing soundtracks to them or something. You see what I'm saying?
I do. And I know that these technologies exist, and we are basically being subject to them. So what can we do? You see? What I say to people is that if you hear a voice in your head that is a negative, it's not a kind thing, or it's not something uplifting or peaceful, harmonious, loving, or whatever, that's not in Creator's world. That's something that is dark, and don't listen to it, push it away, say get out, you're not allowed here in my realm, I'm a sovereign being, I'm a sacred being. I have a light, a strong, powerful light, and I am connected to Creator. And that's a power of words that we do have, and that's an energy frequency that we need to start to learn to use, in my opinion. It's only my opinion.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with you in the least, but this is what I'm thinking. We're asked the question, crazy world or just crazy people? Maybe the world ain't crazy, maybe the people ain't crazy, but maybe there's some agenda out there to make you believe that you're crazy. It's like the whole tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy. They use that to basically label you as nutty to anybody else. And so if you talk about certain subjects, then there are a lot of them. There are a lot of subjects that you can't talk about. Aliens or past societies or secret societies or civilizations or whatever, Bigfoot, hollow earth, hollow moon, flat earth, round earth, whatever. It's so many different controversy.
It's going to drive you crazy just knowing all this, right?
And somebody's
it's enough having, to make you crazy.
Somebody's having a good laugh at the expense of the people because they figured out basically a way to communicate to you without you even knowing you've been communicated with. And so if people are running around freaking out because they think they heard God or something like that, you know, some telling them, hey, you know, go shoot these people up over here. They're not real people. They're lizards. You know, does that sound like it's plausible or some nasty person?
Oh, well, listen, you know, we're talking about, all right, does everyone know about the MK Ultra control, mind control, hidden project MK Ultra?
Well, I know about it. I went down that rabbit hole. But go ahead.
All right, so this is real. This is a government experiment. You can Google it, look it up. I'm not crazy. Well, you know, in this circumstance, in this situation. Okay, MK Ultra. All right, now certain things that are happening in our world today, the shooter incidents is for instance, seem to be linking, I'm not the only one that's looking at this, of course, we're known as conspiracy nutcases, but that this is MK Ultra stuff and mind controlled. And I have to say that I've been looking at this whole thing, I was given a prophecy years ago that said things will be so bizarre that will stun us to the degree that we will just, you know, shake our heads and think that, yeah, the world is gone insane, and, you know, how do we get out of it, you know? But I was given the prophecy that said there, in the future, people's behavior will stun us to the degree that we just, well, what happens when you're stunned? You're just mind blown, right? You're just standing there with your mouth open, agape, and you just go, huh, or what? Or I can't believe this. I don't believe this. But in fact, this is what started to happen. And I'm talking about like literally around 10 years ago, started to see events written about in the papers, in the news about people doing certain things that just blew my mind. There it was. I was like, oh my, look at this. This is stunning. This is stunning. And so the prophecy started to be fulfilled about people's behavior would shock us. So we are in this phase, and I was like, okay, what does all this mean? When I looked at the people, you know, just researching news headlines, and you'd say, this person did so-and-so to thus, and blah, 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 and here's their mugshot, right? So we'd show their mugshot, and I'd look at this person's face, and I'd say, this person is not home. There's nobody home. You look in their eyes. Now, you can see it. If you really look at people, you can tell there's nobody home. There's no one present. And I've sensed this energetically in people as well. I call them the walking dead because they have no life within them. They're like zombies, you know. And I know there's been the big push about the zombie apocalypse, and I think that has to do with the behavior, the spikes in behaviors that just are shocking us and stunning us. Because in my world, I and hopefully others, like, you cannot believe, you can't comprehend a person, another human being, could do some of the acts, some of the vile things that they are doing today. And so that kind of puts us in a whole other category about what the heck is going on. Has the world gone crazy? So these shooters and various other vile things people are doing, I look at their mugshots and I see nobody's home. These people are like zombies, or they're brainwashed, or they're manipulated. So the MK Ultra thing comes into play, because that's basically what it does, is they take a person and they deprogram them so that they can basically program them to act, to behave, and to do what they want them to do. And some of these things that they want them to do are pretty vile. So we have those terms, we have these circumstances now called red flags, right?
Yeah, now they got soldiers without a conscience, essentially, because you can basically put it in somebody's head, whatever you want, to get them, because if it's a zombie that you're shooting at, it's not like really a person, so...
Oh, you're right, and you know, so Red just put up here, or I think it was Red, no, not Red, who put it up, Gaz? That People for People Radio, Bruce McDonald, one of our hosts, is going to be interviewing an MK Ultra soldier. Okay? And, yeah, so you want to tune into that. And I've heard, I've listened to some of those who are in this, experiment, MK Ultra people. And, yeah, folks, this is going on. So we're not crazy. I don't know. The people are getting pretty crazy, but I think it's the mind control on a big level. One of the things that I know as a mind controller is the cell phones, you know, the iPhones or whatever the heck it is, because people are so glued to them, they can't think for themselves, and that's the idea. You have no conscious awareness of who you are, where you are. People are walking off of cliffs or into traffic or dropping into manholes because they're connected.
Not only that, is that sign technology could actually be utilized through your doggone phone. And so you could literally, if somebody's within range of a phone, you could make them mad or depressed or whatever just by using that thing. You put ideas in their head, oh, you're a terrible person, you should kill yourself or some crazy stuff, you know?
Well, I've heard that voice.
Yes.
And I know other people who have heard that voice, you see, and that's a very serious thing. So, and some people don't have the power or the ability to identify that this is not light from the light, this is from the dark, and they will do it. They will kill themselves or they'll kill someone else. So I just want to make a correction here. Apparently Bruce has already interviewed this MK Ultra soldier, and it is on People for People Pods, and you can find that on the quick links on the page People for People, and we're to peopleforpeople.ning.com, and if you pull up the page, there's all these wonderful podcasts sections where you can listen to past interviews and various sharings of all the wonderful hosts on People for People. They're really, you know, we have upcoming hosts. Luca Magno is going to be one who's going to have his own show, and I'm going to talk about that because it's coming up. The first show, I believe, is May 24th. Luca is going to have his first show. This is going to be really exciting because Luca is a wealth of information, beyond your imagining, actually. And it's going to be a powerful show. It's going to be May 24th, Thursday, and I'm going to say 3 Eastern time. In Scotland, it would be around 7, I do believe, but you guys in the chat can correct me, so on. We have other wonderful hosts, too, you know. So I think I'm getting a drift here that Chief Charles Two Dog is also going to have a show. I don't know when that is because I haven't been informed of that. But this is going to be another exciting, powerful show. So we've got so good stuff happen here. Oh, so, yes, 7 p.m. UK time for Luca, correct.
Cool.
And this is happening here, folks. We got amazing people on People for People. If you really want to know what's going on, and Two Dog is on Tuesdays at 9 UK time. Yeah, then that's next week too, I think.
Well, I'm gonna have to listen to that one podcast, the MK Ultra.
Yeah, there's a lot of information out there on the MK Ultras and. But this is what we're dealing with today in our world, and yeah, you know, we're kind of being snarky and kind of humorous about, is the world crazy or are the people crazy? And you wonder why there's an uptick or raising a rise of insanity.
Well,
and now we're talking.
There's got to be some explanation why people believe all the things that they believe. It's gotta be. You know?
Well, oh my gosh.
In my view, it has to be intentional because people only give you information for a purpose. You know, like our purpose here would be to try to, you know, get people together and start troubleshooting and figuring out solutions and stuff like that. But there's other people out there that don't have such a decent, agenda. They want to be able to control people. What better way to control people than to keep them in fear or in doubt or, you know, hating each other? And that takes us away from what I believe the spiritual beings that we were meant to be to begin with. And so, basically...
Well, I'm going to agree with you there. And, you know, I've talked about this because in the way... Let's say before technology, okay? Before technology appeared, that we know of it anyway. Now, there was ancient technology beyond our imagining, and where did all that go? I believe it never went anywhere, but I believe that there's certain persons or groups, cabals, elites, whatever, who have confiscated this technology, and they are using it against us, humanity. Why? Well, you know, I do believe that we are spiritual beings innately, fundamentally. We have a pure natural essence, one with relationship to source and to nature, Mother Nature, we are part of. And we had wisdom and knowledge in the ancient cultures about our connectedness to everything. That's why we use the term Mitakwi Yeo Yasin, which means we are all related. But not just as people, and not just say, well, because we're humans, we're related. No, this goes deeper. What this is about is our frequency, is our energies, okay? That we are related energetically, okay? And not only as people, as humans, but to all of creation. This is a level that is ancient wisdom, you know? And meaning, of course, that we are in relation through frequency, through energies, whether it's your thought, your word, or your actions, that is a frequency and an energy and does connect throughout the whole, affecting everyone, either positively or negatively. So, you know, this is the wisdom that our ancient people had, and they held it, they knew it. So now why are we being taken down? Why are we being affected that we can't think for ourselves? Why are we being programmed to believe that we are separate, that we are not connected, and most of all that we can just destroy everything here on the earth and it doesn't mean anything? You know, why is that happening? Because it is the power that we were given originally to actually affect the whole. We are part of the whole. Everything about us is connected energetically and frequency-wise. And we talk about frequency because this is part of a prophecy of this timeline now. Now, frequency has always existed, energy is always present, because that is what creation is made out of. You know, and I'm not a scientist, so I can't use the language and the words that you may use, but I'm using what I know, okay? The frequencies and energies of thought, emotion, and words and actions have a power and emanates out from us, a source, and moves throughout the whole of let's say the web, we call it the sacred web, and it's the filaments of waves of energy, okay? And we feel each other's energies. I mean, you know, when you meet a person or enter into a room where there are a lot of people and you start to feel the lay of the land, okay? You start to feel something. But when you meet someone, you feel something. We often feel one thing or the other. We feel good around that person or we don't feel good around that person. We say, I don't know what it is about that person, but I just don't like them. Or I just don't feel comfortable. Well, what is that? Or the opposite. Because, well, I love being around that person. Okay, well, what is that, right? So we all are sensitives, energetic receivers or givers out of energies, of frequencies. We are constantly doing this. Now, your words are on a power level beyond your comprehension. Our words, our thoughts, our emotions all have a power, an ability to create and manifest. This is what we're doing constantly. So... And this was ancient knowledge, so we all forgot that piece. We all sort of like got sidetracked or was removed from us deliberately to think that we have any power at all, that we have any ability at all. no, this is impossible, or you're crazy, or you're wacky, or whatever you want to call it, it has been deliberately removed from our awareness. Okay? So, you know, so we are either creating a positive experience or a negative experience according to what we believe in, and because it's a frequency, a thought, belief, powerful frequency. What we speak about, our words have a powerful frequency, and our emotions, and so on. We are in a constant fluctuation of creation, right? So, Stephen, yeah, Stephen's talking about energy. He says, I just felt Gaz feel my energy. Can I no, I'm not. Stephen, you're getting very fresh these days. I don't know what's going on with you. But you almost put me in a very, very bad position just now. So forget that, what you just said. I don't know, where's Red? Red, step in here. Okay, are you present with me, Shaziz?
Yeah, I'm just sitting here looking at there's a website called PlayBuzz.com where it shows 12 amazing optical tricks that will completely blow your mind. I'll have to post that link in there, but there's all kinds of...
I just have to cut in on you. Because I'm feeling a little energy here that I don't like.
What's that?
It's the energy here that's happening that just threw at me, came at me. I don't like it. I'm talking about the power of energy here. I'm talking about the power we have. And to me, I'm going to be serious here because, you know, I love all you guys. And I like to have fun too. But I take this very seriously. And I'm going to speak very bluntly. It is not funny. And I feel this energy. And it's not a good energy. So I just have to say that to you, okay, Baba? What's being written in the chat here? If you don't take me seriously, that's your business. But don't throw this at me. Don't include this energy that you're talking about at me because it's really not a good energy. And I don't like it. And this is what I'm talking about. And I have to be serious about this, you know? What, just saying.
What did I miss?
Well, you know, people get joking in the chat, and the jokes go too far.
Yeah.
Okay? And the jokes have an energy, and this is not funny. And I know I like to joke too, but I just have to point this out, because... this is not good. Yeah. So I'm just saying.
Well.
All right. I have to do this because I'm feeling that and I don't like it. All right. I'm talking about something very serious here about how we affect people. It's not funny. What was just said in the chat. So anyway, I want to move on. So what were you talking about?
About this website called 12 Optical Tricks that will blow your mind, and it's basically, you know, some artwork that, you know, either changes colors or there's a hidden picture in there, and by the way you look at it, you'll perceive it different and that kind of stuff. But these are just examples of ways that the mind can play tricks on you with the visualization. And so it's not just, you know, we mentioned this a long time ago. Back in the old days, they used to put like one frame of popcorn and candy and sodas in a doggone movie, and it would come past so fast that your mind would pick it up, and suddenly you're up at the snack bar because you're hungry. And so all these technologies that we're talking about and the power of your mind and what you just had explained to people, it is a serious business. Because if these people are actually tinkering around, tampering with not just nature, but each of you guys, making you feel like, you know, bad or good or whatever, that's a power that some individuals should not have. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I think that people don't really get it, the power of words, you know. They think they do, and maybe some do, But this is a serious thing, really, because we have to know what we are creating. If we don't know what we're creating, then we're blaming other people.
Yeah.
We have to take responsibility for what we are creating. And if you're complaining and not happy and miserable and about things in life, well, what are you doing? What's your part? What are you, how are you participating? Now, I know that there are some really challenging and difficult things that we are meeting in our lives, but it doesn't mean that we are helpless. And we are told that we're helpless. We're basically brainwashed that we're helpless, and we're brainwashed to be reliant, okay, on the authorities. And this is one thing we've talked about as solution, as to how to get out of, well, you can use the term how to get out of the matrix, because this is like matrix, and it very well could be all true about the matrix. I do believe it is. And I know that the movies and Hollywood and all that do tell us what is real, what's coming, or what we are involved in, right?
Yeah. Well, the people in the power structures up there are looking for any edge. Any edge. It doesn't matter where it comes from. If they can monopolize on your political views, they'll do it. If they can monopolize on your religious or spiritual views, they'll do it. This isn't a new game that's been played on people. This has been going around for you know, all of history. You know, they call it the bread and circus, where they put, you know, pretty much a dog and pony show in front of the people and keep them occupied. And we're sitting here trying to figure out ways to make the world a better place, and it's really kind of hard to do that when there you got people stirring the pot up, so to speak, with all kinds of propaganda and craziness, and it's hard for a person to try to get a grip on what is reality when you're presented with so much incredible information. Does that make any sense of what I'm saying here?
Yes. Yeah. I'm just, because of all that we're talking about on these shows, you know, you, me, Patty, Two Dog, and others, Bruce, when we talk about these truths and the realities that we're dealing with as human populations, and, you know, we talk about the things that are really difficult. We talk about the things that are disturbing.
Yeah.
We have to know. It's like, you know your enemy, right? What is that? You must know your enemy. You must be aware of what it is that is inundating you and affecting your life.
Yeah, you can't defend against it.
That's why we talk about
this. You don't know what it is.
You cannot do the battle unless you know who you are battling, you know, really. So this is really, in a way, is it about deprogramming ourselves? I feel that we are programmed for generations, you know, we've been programmed. Our parents were, our grandparents were. I mean, I can just remember and look at what they believed and how I was taught by them and what the society tells us to believe and how we must be and act and what we must achieve and so on. You know, I'm just wondering, is it time, you know, that we really need to step up to the plate and do our work, and I call it the sacred works, to remove ourselves, to release ourselves from this web, you know, from this tentacles of this. So the way most people live, for instance, are they force themselves to wake up in the morning, dress up, go to work, drive back home 8 hours later, they watch TV, and then they go to sleep, only to repeat the same routine day after day for their entire lives, right?
Yeah.
You know, people consider this living. They consider this normal, and they may believe that it's even healthy. But let's stop and think about this. Is this really healthy? You know, I mean, is life beautiful for you? Or is it just, you know, a routine of misery, and this is how it is, and I have no choice, you know? So we're talking about these traditions, the habits, the dogmatic beliefs. It's almost like we've been turned into mindless automatons or automatons, whatever they call it, right? That we don't enjoy life. We just follow a predetermined path.
Yeah.
And this path was handed to us by society. And I call it society because every aspect, think about this, every aspect of our lives in society contain systems, systematic authoritarians. It's the school, the education, it's the political system, it's the religious system, and it's the financial system, and is there another one that you can think of?
Well, I don't
know. What?
I don't know, but we started talking about crazy world or just crazy people, and it's like a really serious subject, because if you're out there trying to basically weed your way through the matrix, wade through it or whatever, to trying to find something, this would drive people crazy. Literally.
Well, you know, the thing is that society and all aspects that I just identified has a systematic programming.
Yeah.
We are told what to believe when we're little children, aren't we?
Yeah, and then by the time you get older and you got those beliefs embedded in you, then you got other people trying to basically tell you everything that you've believed in your entire life is all wrong. So to me or to somebody else, I really do sound crazy, all right? Because that's not what they were taught during their life, and that's not their belief system. And so, when I talk about certain aspects of my personal life, spiritual journeys, and stuff like that, or even things that's happened to me, in my view, from where I stand, it really happened. It was real, but I couldn't tell you whether or not it's part of your reality, because I don't live your reality. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, don't you think that life was originally meant... I mean, maybe I'm a dreamer, I don't know, but I know I'm not the only one, as John Lennon speaks of. Don't you think that Creator created this magnificent earth, this awesome, awesome, awesome beauty here, and everything that we ever needed was here for us? Clean water, fresh air,
yeah.
Fruits, seeds, medicines. Don't you think that that was meant to be a beautiful life filled with joy, creativity, and love?
Yeah, and I believe that there's a dark side that's actually out there trying to distort everything that is our world into the most, pretty much disgusting and hideous ways, you know. I mean, if you just want to talk about how people treat one another these days, things that would have normally been considered to be vulgar or not funny, or, you know, the sense of humor had changed that is now hurtful as opposed to, you know, hilarious or whatever. You see this so much. So much on a regular basis. And Paul Harvey even said it back in 1965. It was almost a prophetic message that he delivered back then. And you're actually seeing it today. You're seeing the deterioration of society to the extent where people now laugh at things that they would have normally shunned people for saying, you know. It's like here on the Knights of the Round Table and the Mad Science Show on Shaziz Radio. I don't allow cursing on the radio show. You know, it's not because I'm into censorship or anything like that, but I want to bring this show down to the level of some of the ones I've heard before on other networks, because I want to be respectful to others in the way that we deliver our language and our message, because words do have meanings. I mean, if you take the...
Well, they have a power. That's what I'm talking about. They not only have a meaning, they have a power.
Yeah.
And that power of curse words and vile language and so on has a power, it has a frequency, and it is effective upon people.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't particularly like it. I mean, because I feel the energy. I'm a what you call a sensitive. I'm not overly sensitive, like people say, oh, you're too sensitive. No, I am a sensitive, where I feel energies. I feel people's energies. I feel people's frequencies. When I'm around people who are out of balance or ill or whatever, I feel, I'm a clairsentient, it's called, where I feel what is going on in that person within my own body. that's how I'm able to talk to people and say, are you, what's going on over here? Are you, what's going on in this part of your body? And they say, oh, I have a pain over here. I say, yeah, because I'm feeling that pain in my body. Well, okay, that's called clairsentient.
One of the examples of the words that, you know, is the notorious F-bomb. There is actually a video out there. It's supposedly a funny video, but it's kind of disturbing to me. But
yeah,
one word, depending on how you say this word, can mean so many different things according to modern society.
Well, but we know words are either helpful or they're damaging. Words are either uplifting or they're down, knocking you down.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing. It's just a tiny example of the power of words. If one word can mean so many different things, just depending on the tone or the way that you use this particular word in modern society, that jumbles up the communication, if you see what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That, you know, like there's certain terminologies that they use in UK that if you used over here, that people would look at you cross-eyed because it means something.
Oh,
completely.
I've done that. Yeah. I've done that unknowingly. I have, you know, because that's... But talking about words, we also are now realizing that the English, I call it the English language, is a false language, and it's a damn... It has a power. Certain words significantly have a dramatic negative effect, and we don't realize it.
Yeah, well, example of that is if you go to court, if you don't know the right terminology or the meanings of words such as, you know, do you understand? You know, you always say interstand. Some people understand the word understand means I stand underneath somebody. You know, I'm giving you power over me.
That's right. It doesn't mean that you really get it inside yourself. You understand it.
I was raised to believe that the word understands means, you know, I get it. I understand what you're saying. I never looked into it to the extent is that I'm submitting to somebody, but that I can understand the words. See, I'm still using the word because I don't got a better word to put in there.
That's why I say innerstand.
Yeah.
Because when you understand something, it is within you, and you know exactly what it is.
Yeah, I know what they're talking about, and I use the word understand, and maybe that's part of my indoctrination through my life, was that they basically get me to submit. You understand your rights? Well, no, I don't, because they don't make any
sense.
Well,
then you say, yes, I understand, sir. Oh, yes, the authority. Yes, sir, I understand, sir. I understand, meaning I'm under you. I'm under something. I'm, you know, something's on top of me. Something's weighing me down. But
it ain't no reason. It's understandable why people are going crazy. It really is.
It's understandable. I'm understanding it more and more every day.
It makes sense.
Meaning that I'm really awakening. Okay, so when you understand something, you are awakened to something. Okay?
Yeah.
That's the piece that we want to look at. Changing our language for the better, to be more positive rather than being owned and ruled by these words that are actually negative. Well, and controlling us.
Words can be like chains, you know. They put people in bondage, like the difference between colors of skin. We that are pretty much, we call ourselves awake, that we don't see color like everybody. We know color, but we don't see it like as a difference. We see people as people. But, like terminology, like, difference between liberals and conservatives, or tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorists, and so on down the line, these are all basically labels that put you in a category. If you don't say what somebody wants you to say or agree with somebody's lifestyle, you're called all kinds of things, from xenophobic to homophobic to Islamophobic and all that. And then you got somebody out there that has to defend themselves by coming back saying, well, this is what this particular group stands for, and yet you're over there protecting them and all this, and that keeps a constant controversy, and it keeps everybody in bondage, quite literally, with a word.
Well, think about the word race.
Yep.
Okay? Just that word race, what it all brings up, you know? It's a word to separate us.
Yep.
You know, that's the whole point of that. The whole Black Lives Matter the whole Blue Lives Matter. The whole, I mean, this whole thing is about separation. And I understand or understand these people's passion that, but all lives matter, yeah. Folks. And I'm not above anyone. I'm no better than anyone else, any other human being, any brother or sister. Does not matter to me. You know, I had this incident where I spoke about this. We have 103 acres here, and we have a lower road that, you know, above the main road, or below the main road here at entrance to the land. It goes all the way back in the land past the house. But people could come in there, and unknowingly to us, we can't see it so well. But there was a young man of 19. My daughter and her and my grandchildren were walking up from the pond, and standing there on our land was this young man, you know, and he was acting kind of weird, you know, and my daughter was concerned, and she said, "Are you all right? You know, what are you doing here? This is our property, our land, you know," and he was sort of like incomprehensible and unable. So she brought him up to the house and sat him outside on a chair, gave him some water. And now I went outside. She told me there's a young man out there. He seems like confused, and I don't know what's wrong with him. So I went out and I sat with him. I sat with him for about an hour, you know, to try to feel out what's going on with this guy, you know. Is he on drugs? Is he, you know, dealing with something, you know, mental? I didn't know. Emotional, whatever. And I sat with him for quite a while talking with him, and I asked him where he lived, and apparently he lives down the road here, and another road attached here, not far from. I couldn't get too much out of him. I saw that he was really deeply disturbed, and finally I said to him, "Well, I need to get some things done here, and I'd like you to, you know, go back home, go down the road there, go back to your house, you know." He wouldn't give me his connection to his parents or anything, you know. I thought that I would call them if he did. So I said, "I'd like you to leave the property. I don't really want you here in the back of our land, because we'd be concerned, you know, about you." And so he started to walk back on the land. And I said, "Wait a second. I want you to leave the land. I want you to go home. I don't want you here." So he went off and went down and disappeared down the road. And the next day, I'm sitting here at my computer, which I am now, and I'm looking out the window, and coming up the path from the back of our land is this young man. And I was here alone in the house. Everybody was gone, and I went down, ran downstairs, and he was right at the door at that moment, ready to knock on the door. I said, "What are you doing here? I told you we don't really want you to be here. You know, I tried to help you and find out what's going on with you. What are you doing here?" And it from one thing led to another, and he was laid down on the ground, he took his shirt off, he wasn't communicating with me, and I told him, I said, "I really need you to leave." And he wouldn't move, he wouldn't talk, and I said, "If you don't go, I'm going to have to call the police." And he just laid there, and then he started to take his shoes and socks off, and I'm like, now I'm getting like really concerned, right? This is a big guy, you know, he's, I found out that he was 19 years old. And I'm thinking, this isn't good. You know, I'm here by myself. I don't know who this person is. So I gave him another chance. I said, "If you don't leave now, I'm going to call the police. I'm telling you." So he didn't, and I went in the house, got the phone, and I called the police. Now, the police are asking me about this person here that is on my land. And he says, he's a male. Yes, he's a male. How tall is he? And I'm trying to figure out how tall he is. Meanwhile, I'm getting annoyed. What does he have on? What is he wearing? So I'm trying to describe what he's wearing. And the next thing he says to me, "Is he white? Is he Hispanic? Is he black?" Okay. No, he said, "Is he white? Is he black? Or is he Hispanic?" And now I'm in this position where I've got to speak in front of this young man what color he is. Okay? And I'm not going to do it. Because I don't see this at all as this young man is a color. He's just a young man in trouble to me. So I said, I said to the policeman, I said, "He's the second one." So, because he said white, black, or Hispanic. I said, "He's the second one." I just couldn't do that, right?
Yeah.
Long story short, they were actually looking for this young man. That's why they were asking me what he was wearing and so on and so forth, because they were trying to identify if this, in fact, was the young man they were looking for, because his parents had called the police. They were having trouble with him. apparently he's having psychological problems and he should have been in the hospital, and the police came and they did take him in an ambulance. The police were amazing, actually. I was concerned, first of all, to call the police on a young black man because of what's happening today. You know, people are calling the police on young black people and the police come and they shoot them, you know. I mean, this is because he's got a cell phone. Oh, I thought he had a gun or whatever. But I was concerned about this, doing this. What would I be putting this young man in a position if I'm calling the police? You know, I was concerned.
Well, it's a valid concern. You know, the question you have to ask yourself these days is, because it's hard to say whether or not people are going crazy because of certain types of medication or drugs or
right.
intentional mind tampering right. or whatever.
Well, I felt so the police came. The first guy came. Was all of the police that came. There were troopers that came. There were policemen that came. And they were really respectful and kind to this fella. Now here he's sitting there with no shoes, no socks, no shirt on. He's laying on the ground. He's a big guy. And I'm anxious because I'm not sure what are these cops going to do, you know. I mean, I've read horrible stories and I didn't know, but I was afraid. But the guy, I was amazed. These policemen talked to him, said, how can I help you? Are you okay? You know, what's going on? I mean, I was really amazed and very grateful, actually. So I'm just saying, this whole thing with race, the words that we use or that we're told to believe in, and I just want to go into this because I see we don't have much time, but I want to talk about breaking free from the shackles of the Matrix. What can we do? Now, there's a few possible things here we can discuss, and I know we don't have too much time, but I want to do this because we're talking about the control, mind control, and the Matrix, and how we are subjected to other authorities that are ruling our lives, running our lives. Now, this one here is the first one. It's organized religion. It's the dogmatic, organized religion imposes on people what to think and what not to do, what is good and what is bad, what is right and what is wrong. Now, I've always said this about organized religion. They're organizing people. But what they do is they prevent you from your own critical thinking, from even seeking the truth and reaching your own conclusions, you know, from your own life experiences and reasonings. And so it basically teaches us to blindly follow a set of morals and rules. And it's emotional suppression, really, is what we're talking about. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And the next one is stop giving your power away to authority, right?
Yep.
From a very early age, most of us have been taught to doubt ourselves and do only what authority commands us to do. Now, here we are as adults, we don't trust ourselves. We don't even trust our own thinking. We don't have critical thinking. We don't trust our own instincts about things, you know? And the next one is question the current economic system. And that's, you know, money is created out of debt. And basically enough to go around for everyone, so people are forced to compete in the market and waste most of their lives working as slaves, and it goes on more. There's more information here. I'm going through it kind of fast. But the next one is detach yourself from materialism. You know, we have become a consumer culture, and we are basically in such debt. And we don't need all this stuff. I'm just saying. That's my perspective. This is just what I'm sharing, okay?
Yeah.
And here's another one. Be mindful of what you put into your body. We have to question, is what we're eating contributing to our health, or is it poisoning us? You know? We have to look at how the level of sugar, preservatives, empty nutrients, animal-derived products that are, you know, contaminated, and so on. So we have to really be more aware. I guess I'm saying you have to take responsibility. Choose your news sources wisely. And this is, we talk about this all the time. Mainstream media is corporate-owned. It presents us a biased information and perspective. Basically, it's fooling us into believing their lies. because they're trying to manipulate the whole system, our government system and everything. So there are alternatives, you know, and we have to use critical thinking today. We just can't believe what the mainstream media tells us. You can look at it and say, okay, let me investigate that. What's the source of that? You know, and read empowering books, positive things, right? And get out of the herd mentality. You know, that's another one. We could talk about that maybe another time. And find your creative expression. Develop your mindfulness. You know, this is what we're talking about, and this has to do with the Matrix. Is a system. It's our enemy. But when you're inside and you look around, what do you see? You see everyone, all people, the very minds of the people that we are trying to save. But until we do, these people are still part of that system, and that makes them our enemy. You have to understand, most of these people are not ready to be unplugged. And many of them are so inured, so hopelessly dependent on the system, that they will fight to protect this system. And those are the words spoken by Morpheus in the Matrix.
Yeah. And so that's why I try to tell everybody, just, you know, when you go through life, keep an eye out, keep an ear out, keep... try to keep some common sense about about yourself. I know it's so easy in this world to get crazy about stuff. You know, there are some people that are so passionate in their beliefs, and you'll know them when you see them, believe me, because the moment you say anything contrary to what they actually believe to be the truth, they'll get defensive about it. And it's just like what you just explained. It's part of the Matrix that tells you that these folks will, they'll fight to preserve it. The same system that they complain about is enslaving them on one spectrum. They're not paying attention to, they're actually basically quoting the same propaganda from the same system that keeps them down on their side, if that makes any sense. So, you know, when you go through life, take everything with a grain of salt. Take everything you see and be questioning about everything, and try to stay as true to your faith and your belief as you possibly can, because we're living in some weird times, quite literally.
Well, we're living in some weird times for sure, but we also are living in extraordinary times, and yep. I mean that in a good way.
Yeah, it's on both sides of the fence, because...
I truly believe that, but it's what you choose. Which side of the fence do you want to step onto?
Yep. Crazy world or just crazy people, or combination or both, or maybe there's a little bit of something going on that we really don't understand, such as the fact that maybe there's something massively spiritual that's occurring. Maybe there's something that, you know, some mad scientist in the world is actually jacking around with. You know, there's so many different truths to this world. Maybe we're living in a simultaneous multiverse, and we're experiencing all this thing not like we were intended on, like a, you know, let's say hypothetically the Garden of Eden style lifestyle, where we were all, you know, once a lot different than we are now, and now it's a matter of our minds being basically enslaved by a system that it just keeps on growing because we keep on feeding it. Does that make any sense to you?
Well, you know, I feel that no matter what is going on, I don't know everything. I only have my own sensory experiences and the little bit of knowledge that I receive. But no matter what it is, I am only in charge of my own experience.
Yep.
I know that I am a sovereign being. I was meant to be a sovereign being. I am a spiritual being. I have a spirit embodied within me. I have a relationship with Creator, my source. I have a relationship with the Mother Earth and all of creation that I truly love and am grateful for. So no matter what the others are trying to do or attempting to do or working with their manipulations or whatever, my awareness and my understanding is key. The knowledge and the research and whatever it is, the awakening is key. I am responsible for my personal life experience and for what is going to be for me. I am manifesting every moment in my experience as we are. So no matter what they're doing, I have innate within me a connectedness to Creator, Great Spirit, Mother, Father, and to the Mother Earth and all of nature. And I believe that this is a piece here that something is happening on a grander scale that we are not fully aware of. There's different levels, okay? There's different levels. There's the deep down dirty dang swampers, okay, that are garbling and grabbing and groping at everything to control. And then there's the middle ground, and then there's the upper ground, and there's the higher ground, and there's the beyond infinity ground, which you get higher and higher, lighter and lighter, brighter and brighter, freer and freer, you know. And you can wallow around down in the lower swamps and hang out there and be controlled. It's up to you, it's up to people, but we do have a power and an ability to free ourselves, and this is what we're talking about. You can all sit back there and say, well, you know, Shaziz and Barbara are crazy, wacky people. They don't know what they're talking about. You can do that. That's fine. That's your choice. That's where you're going. And that's, God, you know, blessings to you wherever you go and whatever you choose. I'm only speaking about myself and what I know that I have a connectedness to and the ability to do and what I receive from Source and Creator. And I do feel strongly that we are in a spiritual battle. I believe that it is within us and all collectively, this energy frequency of jockeying for position of the dark and the light. And this is nothing new. This is what humanity has dealt with from the beginning of time. But I think now we're dealing with levels of technology that our ancestors never had to deal with. But they certainly knew the frequencies and energies that were negative.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're dealing with things on a different level here. I can only speak for myself, and I only share what I feel would be maybe hopefully significant and important for other people out there, and I'm only offering that. That's all that I'm doing. I'm just sharing, and I'm just asking people to open their hearts and their minds and maybe receive something. It's up to them again. But I feel we are in an extraordinary, powerful time. And it's amazing to me, you know, the timeline that we are in. Prophecies on all levels are unfolding in our timeline. We have known these prophecies for many years, for centuries, really. And now we're in the time of prophecy. That alone is pretty extraordinary to me. And we are not helpless. And it is not hopeless. I truly believe this. But we must come to some understanding. We must come to some choice and fulfill something within our own self and our personal and collective experience here on this Mother Earth in this timeline. That's what I feel.
Yep. And, you know, for those folks out there that might think I'm crazy, I might think you're crazy as well, because you gotta take in consideration that all the information that we've all gathered out through our entire life came from somebody other than us. You know, it's kind of like, you know, those that don't like the Bible. Well, for whatever reason you don't like it because it was written by man, you got to factor in the fact that even when it was back to the point when people were writing stuff on cave walls, that was written by man as well. And so all this information that has been trickled down to us through the generations is information that we have to base whatever, decisions or opinions that we have on life. And so every one of us walking our own personal spiritual journey have to be responsible for our own choices by the information that we picked out. So maybe I sound crazy, but maybe somebody in this world wants me to sound crazy, because if anybody could realize who and what they really were and how powerful that their spiritual being actually was, that they knew that the power of the spoken word, the power of the written word, the power of your actions actually can change things in this world and do the incredible things. And if we ever decided to come together as you know, one people, not some one world government or one world religion, but a people under an idea that we'd rather live in a better world than an insane world. We've been bombarded with TVs and computers and all kinds of information all of our lives, ever since the day we opened our eyes for the very first time and stepped into this world. We've seen everything that there is to see. I've said it a million times. I've seen things that no man or woman should ever have to lay eyes upon, and some of them are very disturbing, and I don't like that kind of stuff. I honestly believe in a better day, that a better world that we could actually create, and I know that we have the power to create it, because if somebody on the other side has the power to manipulate our mind into believing and repeating and saying things that you would perceive us to be crazy for, well, then we have that power too. We could write the story. We could be the ones that pick up the pen and the typewriters, and we could write the story of our future, our destiny. We don't have to have it to be a bad world. But these folks out here that want to keep you under control, they know the power of the mind. They know the power of words, and they've used words. They've used languages. They've used every trick under the book, including pictures and videos and audio and even special billboards that they can talk directly in your head. And it's not science fiction. It's science fact. It's real existing technology. And they know what to do with it. They know how to sell you something. They know how to get you to buy Coca-Cola or Pepsi or any other brand out there because of the fancy label or the convenience of where it's at and the type of fuel to put in your car or not. They know how to manipulate you and market you. They have been using this thing that we call the internet to basically categorize you into separate categories. They know which one of you are the super soldiers. They know which one of you are the knights in shining armor. They know which one of you are cowards and which one of you are more than likely to be swayed to vote a certain direction or whatever. These people have spent their entire life studying every possible way there is to manipulate people in order for them to be able to stay in the power structure that they are.
Well, psychological warfare.
Yeah, that's
you
what
know,
it is.
I have to question people's craziness or insanity or whatever you want to call it, manipulations. When you so here's the thing: we have known for many years that the pedophilia system in the church, right? We have known this. It's been out, you know, really strongly in different parts of the world and countries. And now recently, our Pope, the Pope, has said that he went to Chile and he said that he apologized to the victims of the priests' pedophilia in that church there, in the churches in Chile. He apologized to the people and he said that he was to blame. Now, he said also the next breath, like a day or so later, that he was considering retiring, okay. This is huge. And the next thing we see that 31 or plus or whatever bishops from Chile are all resigning. They resigned because of the pedophilia. Now, I have to ask people, if you belong to a club, an organization, a cult, whatever it is, and when somebody stands in front of you and says, this is what's going on in this club, this is the dirt and the dirty stuff and the vile stuff that's going on with these people that are running this club, running this cult that you're involved in for many, many years that you believe in. Are you going to stay? Would you just stay?
Not me.
That's right. Not me either. But I'm just saying, this is what's coming out today. And so if we are saying that the government, our government and all governments pretty much have a deep state, and they're dirty, and they're really dirty and dark, and they're controlling us. Are you still going to stand there and believe that your vote, you're going to vote for this this politician or this person who's standing up there telling you lies because you know the system stinks? Because once they get into that system, they are sucked into the cabal that is the controlling factor, that is not really a good system, that is not for the people. So are you still going to continue to follow this pattern, this system that tells you that your vote counts, that this is a free country, that this so-called government, group, cult, religion, whatever it is for your benefit and helping you when it's out there right blatant in your face, that it is not?
Well, with that said, we got to get up out of here, but folks, wicked people do wicked things. And they're in governments. They're in your neighborhoods. They're everywhere. They talk about the
in every system.
Yeah, in every system. In every church, every business.
Sad to say, it's not such good news, is it? But it doesn't mean that we have to continue to accept it.
That's
now.
That's right.
Now,
we don't have to condone it. We have a choice between the darkness and the light, and by what we do, we'll determine the outcome of this battle that we're finding ourselves in. We may sound crazy, but there's justification why we ever got to this point to even be able to talk about things like Bigfoot and aliens and whatever. Maybe they do exist, maybe they don't exist, maybe your reality is the truth and maybe my reality is the truth. Maybe we've all been messed with and it's all been a lie all along. But the fact of the matter is, we're still all in the same boat, heading down the same path, and we got to get our act together and figure out what we want out of this world before we allow those who are running amok to do whatever it is that they feel is, okay. The ends justify the means. Send this group of people to war and kill each other, and we'll cut down the population and make some money at the same time. These folks don't have a heart like you got in your chest. You know, and if they do, it's as black as the coldest ice in the world, and they don't care. They don't have no feelings of you being human or whatever. Who knows? They might not even be human. They might be the quite literal demons that we've all heard about in the storybooks. But nonetheless, that don't mean all hope is lost, because what we're trying to tell you is that you do have power. You were given power by whatever entity, divine creation that you think is the reason for it. You know, monkeys don't get this far. If they did, there would be monkeys out there in the jungle playing banjos and electric guitars and driving four-wheelers. All right? You're not monkeys. You never were. All right? That's just the way it is. And so, you know, if that's your reality and that's what you choose to believe, that those are your ancestry and that's you're just that, then, you know, I guess that's your reality. But in my reality, we're a whole lot better and we're capable of so much more if we could only just realize that all these games that's being played on us have made us sound crazy, have made the world appear to be crazy. When in reality, that's their tool in order to manipulate us to do what they want us to do. They want us to work for them. They want us to buy their goods. They want us to fight their wars. They want us to do all the crazy stuff to each other. They want us to label each other with color, race, religion, creed, political ideology. And I, for one, am going to be the rebel that is going to fight that beast at every single turn, even if everyone else on this world believes that all hope is lost. I'm going to continue to spread ideas and good thoughts and words, peace, hope, and love, as long as I'm able. That's it, because I'm in this world and I don't agree with what's happening to the people. That's why I do what I do. You got any last words of wisdom, Barbara?
I do. Well, so there's an ancient prophecy, and prophecies are ancient, by the way. Ancient prophecy called the Rainbow Warriors. Rainbow meaning many colors. Okay. So this ancient prophecy knew that people of many colors would be appearing on this earth, okay, together, coming together in unity, as spiritual warriors, okay? And that's where we are today, because people all over the world, doesn't matter their color, none of it matters. They are human people, people of the earth, all one big family. We are coming together as spiritual warriors. This is not about fighting angry warriors. This is spiritual warriors. This is what the prophecy speaks of. And this is what we are about and what we are doing today. So ancient prophecies are being fulfilled. And so we are part of this timeline of enlightenment. I do believe this is that time, the age of Aquarius, they call it. But it is the entering into the opening portal has already occurred, the portal or doorway to that parallel realm, which is a world of peace, 1,000 years of peace, it's called, this prophecy. And it's ever present right now. It's present right now, and it's up to us to either vibrate our frequency in alignment with peace or stay stuck in the fourth world of chaos, which is anger, hate, race wars and prejudices and greed and all that. That's a choice. It's right there in front of us. It's always been there. One pathway leads us one way. Another pathway leads us in the other direction. We have free will given to us to either choose the light or the dark, goodness, love, or hate, or whatever. It's in our hands. We are more powerful than we ever imagined. And, step away from the matrix.
Yep. With all that said, and because of the context to today's show, I hope you enjoyed today's show, even though it was a mind twister. But it was, it was for a purpose. It was for a purpose. I think that, anytime that you're looking into finding, where you belong in this world and what you want out of this world, sometimes you got to look at the crazy. Sometimes you got to understand why people could potentially be crazy. There are extenuating circumstances, and there's a history that needs to be told and truth that needs to be found, and I think we can all do that together. But because of the context of today's song, I'm going to play us out of here with a song that it's called Crazy Train by Ozzy. If you listen to words that this man said, it might just blow your mind after hearing today's show. So, with that said, peace and love, everybody. If this show has either made you laugh or made you think, and you think it's worthy of passing on, share the podcast with somebody. It'll be up as soon as possible, as soon as we get off air here. But I'm going to play us up out of here with this song. Listen to the lyrics. Just humor me in this and tell me if it doesn't blend in with what we shared with you today here on the Knights of the Round Table. We'll be right back.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Do you hear that? Do you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routine to call a scene, to footwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more, we're table. So many times we give and rise, that our quiet on sing able. We're off so mad in Camelot, we sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Terrible, and the Knights of the Round Table.